think you know pop culture? Are you ready for a challenge?
Yeah? No? Maybe? Whatever. It's fun, and that's all that matters. Grab your friends and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play the River Trivia Challenge. Live every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock inside Overtime Lounge. Test your knowledge and show your skills by playing the River Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free slot play and fantastic prizes. For official rules and details, log on to WindRiver.com. Trivia is better at the river. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino's Overtime Lounge as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with Comedy Night. Enjoy a comical knee-slapping good time with live comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8. What would be great after a long day at the office? Drinks, laughs, hoots and giggles with friends, and a live comedy show every Wednesday night. Enjoy the humor with different comedians every week. No cover charge. For all the details, log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
I can tell you one thing for certain. There are absolutely no feminists or dishonest members of the liberal media within 1/4 mile of Command Center Alpha Humidor 1A. They have been cleared from the perimeter. In fact, I have my canine companion, Royal Sultan, on alert, defending the compound, the Pleasure Command Center, and Alpha Command Center, from any enemies of pleasure, any feminist enemies, and any enemies from the lamestream media. This is an inner sanctum, a tranquil place, Command Center Alpha. And it is ever more tranquil because I have my freshly brewed espresso. I have my cigar selection today in front of me. And I've got some great libations. All is well, front and center, Command Center Alpha. Long ash greetings and salutations. A long ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. America's alpha male, front and center. As always, it is my delight, my pleasure to be able to spend the next 2 hours with you each and every Saturday. It has been a tumultuous week for those of us that are Trump supporters. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. But the one thing that I have found all week is that the liberal media is incredibly disingenuous, dishonest. We know that. And I'm not just barking what Trump has to say, because when Trump's wrong, I say it. When Hillary's wrong, I say it. In fact, I believe that I represent the frustrated majority in this country. The frustrated majority of Americans that are tired of a media that is not telling the truth. A frustrated majority of Americans that are tired of Washington and Washington bureaucrats meddling and interfering in our lives and in our businesses and in our livelihoods. And I believe I represent a frustrated majority that are tired of the same old insider politics, the establishment politics. And I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, a liberal, a conservative. The one unifying force is that people are fed up with the status quo. They're fed up with people that are disingenuous and dishonest. And there are tons of them in Washington. And the one thing that I pride myself is that we're fair, we're honest, we're straight. We tell it like it is. And for those of you that have been longtime listeners, I'm more than happy to criticize Republicans and Democrats, liberals, conservatives, when they do not make sense. Unlike the current media. Now, we have much to get to today. In the second hour, we'll be continuing our Cigar Oktoberfest series. We'll be joined by two good friends of the Cigar Dave Show and longtime friends who happen to be home brewers. Last week, we spent a wonderful week over in St. Petersburg, downtown St. Petersburg, talking about home brewing, the science of making your own beer. And we're going to follow that up with two home brewers. We've got Matt Puccio, who will join us from Missouri, as they say, the Show Me State, not Missouri, Missouri. And we've got Phil Azun, longtime producer, creative services director for the Cigar Dave Show, who actually today is home brewing right in his home. So we'll be joining both of them in the second hour. But some big news that broke yesterday.
Live, local, late breaking. This is a Cigar Dave News Bulletin.
Well, just about a year ago, Obama, President Obama, Bolshevik Barack Obama, started to create a thaw between Cuba and the United States. Did we get anything? Not really, but nonetheless, this is what one of the legacies he wants to lead, in addition to a terrible health program that he has enacted, which, by the way, is just spiraling out of control. That's a topic for another time. But yesterday, the Obama administration came out saying they are eliminating the $100 limit on Cuban rum and cigars that American travelers were theretofore allowed to bring back when Obama relaxed the travel restrictions between the United States and Cuba. So just about a year ago or so, a little bit, probably less than that, maybe about 8 months or so, if you went to visit Cuba, you could bring back either $100 in cigars or rum, combination thereof. Well, yesterday, the administration announced, the Treasury Department, seeking to break down economic barriers, announced that Cuban rum and cigars may be brought back in unlimited quantities subject to the same duties as alcohol and tobacco from other countries, meaning that if you want to bring back $20,000 worth of cigars or $10,000 worth of rum, you are free to do so. However, you will pay normal duties. And I think if you're out of the country for more than a couple of days, I think you can bring up to, it's either $500 or $800 that's duty-free. So if you bring up to that amount, duty-free, above that, you will pay a duty. And one little note, always declare whatever you bring in. No matter where I've gone, I've always declared. Because usually, even if you do go over, most of the time the customs inspectors don't want to go through the paperwork hassle, but they know you're honest. Where they'll get people is when they come back with $5,000 or $10,000 worth of merchandise and declare $100. That doesn't work. And I've seen it while I've been in line. People get caught. In fact, Low Energy Jeb's wife, Columba, while he was governor, came back, said she declared nothing, and came back with like $20,000 in clothing from, I don't know if it was South America or Europe or wherever it was. So moral of the story is always declare. So now, if you're traveling to Cuba, you can bring more than $100, but you will pay up at normal duties. Now, what I find interesting, two things. One, the Obama administration relaxes this requirement, helps the Cuban economy this way, and the United States gets nothing. Did he ask to release dissident prisoners from jail? No. Did he ask to relax the state-controlled media, allowing unlimited fettered internet access? No. Once again, the worst negotiator on the planet. What he should have done was said, look, we're considering this. However, to do this, we need this. And we need to see it first, and then we'll open it up. But, of course, worst negotiator ever in the history of modern, not only modern history, but of history, period. Rolls over, gives them everything. In fact, if he were to spend 5 minutes with me, I'm one of the best negotiators ever. And I can tell you I thrive when friends of mine say, I need to negotiate for a car, and I'm getting shafted. I'm like, please, allow me. It would be my pleasure. But again, Obama goes in, relaxes these restrictions, and gets nothing in return. But here's the second point. The FUDA regulations, which were enacted back in May, retroactive to February of 2007, meaning that if a cigar, the deeming rule that cigars had to be on the market February of 2007, you have to have an equivalent product on the market February 2007, if not, you must prove what's called substantial equivalence, meaning that any cigar on or before August 9th of 2016 of this year, cigar manufacturer has to show that it's virtually identical of a blend to what was on the market, one of his other cigars, his or her other cigars. This is impossible for Cuba to prove. It can't, because there has been an embargo. So what I find interesting is he is supporting the Cuban cigar industry, yet at the same time shafting the American cigar industry, and also shafting the cigars made in Honduras, Nicaragua, the Dominican Republic, Miami, you name it, everywhere except Cuba. And even if the embargo was lifted tomorrow, which it's not, takes an act of Congress, but let's say hypothetically it was lifted in totality, Cuba couldn't sell an American cigar here legally, period, because they didn't have a cigar that was substantially equivalent on the market back in February of 2007 or 2009. I think it's 2009. So I find that amazing. Even if the embargo is lifted, they wouldn't be able to sell cigars under the FDA. Now, if Obama was president, I will guarantee you he would put in a waiver, tell the FDA, I don't care, let the Cubans sell cigars, and screw his very own taxpaying citizens who pay taxes, work hard, employ people here in the United States. So I find it very interesting. He's doing all he can to bend over backwards for the Cuban cigar industry, yet screwing the American cigar industry. The hypocrisy is once again overwhelming. Now, lieutenants, when we come back, and fellow alphas, we're going to talk about Jessica Leeds. She's the one who accused Trump of groping her like an octopus and kissing her and riding up her skirt and up her blouse on a plane in 1979. And we'll also talk about Ken Bone. Ken Bone in the red sweater who asked a question at Sunday night's debate. We've got a lot to get to today, but you will hear it truthfully. You will hear it honestly. You will hear it fairly without any political slant. Well, maybe a slight political slant, but we're equal opportunity bashers. We believe in common sense. So when we come back, we'll get into Ken Bone. We'll get into Jessica Leeds. Got a few other things that we will get to. Hour two, we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest. Home brewing. We'll talk to two home brewers, Phil Azun and Matt Puccio, who'll join us in the second hour. Phil's getting ready to brew right now as we speak. And Matt will join us. We'll talk about their styles, how they got into it, everything you need to know to become a home brewer. Lieutenants, as always, I'm America's commanding, correction, I got to get over saying I'm America's alpha male in general. I'm the global alpha male in chief and the global commanding general, and you have come to the right place for alpha male pleasure and honest talk maneuvers.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection this month is a Casa Torrent Vertical Sampler, including the Casa Torrent Serie 1942 from A. Torrent Cigars. This cigar uses the same Negro San Andreas wrapper as the Serie 1901, but from a lower priming. This cigar is medium to full bodied with some spice. Not a member of the Officers Club? Get these premium cigars shipped directly to you every month by signing up today at CigarDave.com.
In this difficult and challenging time, when the government is trying to outlaw premium cigars and take away the art form of enjoying a beautiful cigar, we decided to introduce our brand called Prohibition. This cigar is going to be the bootlegger's dream. A gorgeous cigar made in Esteli, Nicaragua, triple cap, using a broadleaf wrapper and a Mexican wrapper from the San Andreas Valley. It's got Nicaraguan tobaccos from the Nicaraguan valleys of Esteli and Jalapa. It's rich, it's complex, it's got some spice, some white pepper, and a ton of sweetness. Full of flavor, this cigar is one that you're going to want to enjoy and you're going to bootleg. And that's why it's called Prohibition. Enjoy it. I promise you're going to love it.
As a cigar connoisseur, one of the pleasures that we derive is walking into our retailer's humidor and seeing the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. 9 years ago, I had the idea that I wanted to share great cigars with the cigar lieutenants. So, the Officers Club was born. Every month, you will receive three fantastic premium cigars direct to your door, shipped in a very dapper Officers Club customized Ziploc cigar pouch. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. No long-term contracts. You can cancel whenever you want. You enjoy great cigars right to your door. Names like Perdomo, Diamond Crown, Brick House, San Latano, Rocky Patel, Torano, CAO, Avo, Camacho, Greycliff, and many more. Join the Officers Club today. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and for $22.95, you'll get the latest and greatest in the world of cigars.
Okay, people, we've just been awarded the Brickhouse Ad Account. Now, this cigar was named Best Bargain Cigar of 2009 by Cigar Aficionado, got a 91 rating, plus it's the hottest cigar on the market. So, we need an award-winning slogan.
He's a brick.
What about It's Not Your Grandfather's Cigar?
Ah, it's been done. Next.
How about Good to the Last Draw?
Come on, something original, people.
You deserve a brick today?
Now, who are you? Do you even work here?
Excuse me, sir. Am I to understand that every Brickhouse cigar is built with all the flavor and quality of the premium cigars of yesteryear?
Yesteryear? Really?
That's right, Bixby.
But yeah, it costs around $5 each.
Indeed.
Well, sir, people don't really need a slogan.
They don't?
No, sir.
Then what do they need?
$5 and a comfortable chair.
$5 and a comfortable chair. Genius!
Meet the perfect cigar to share with friends. Brickhouse by J.C. Newman. Handmade in Nicaragua with a fine Havana Subido wrapper. Brickhouse starts out earthy and crisp and burns well, rounded, and smooth. Nothing stands the test of a good time like a Brickhouse. For more, visit BrickhouseCigars.com.
Arriving as a wussified beta male, departing as a certified alpha male. Cigar Dave, mission accomplished.
I want to clarify one thing. I said that I'm no longer America's alpha male. I'm the global alpha male. Well, I'm technically not wrong because I am America's alpha male as well as the global alpha male. And I never apologize. And you shall never apologize for being an alpha male. This week, alpha males got bashed incessantly. Get used to it. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Do not apologize. I never apologize for being an alpha male. I'm proud to be an alpha male. I'm proud to be decisive. I'm proud to work hard. I'm proud to play hard. I'm proud to enjoy my passion and pleasures. And I'm proud to be strong and opinionated and take charge. Chairman of the board, I will never apologize for that, and neither will you. And the true fact is, real women enjoy that, and that's what they want. They don't want a wussified beta. Now, let's talk about wussified betas. This is a perfect seg into my next segment. Sunday night at the debate. Question asked by Ken Bone, 34 years. Now, when I saw him, I thought Ken was probably like 50. Looks much older than he is. Ken Bone, looks like kind of a nebbishy guy, you know, the red sweater and the little mustache, kind of like the porn, you know, Ron Jeremy mustache. And the name alone, Ken Bone. Now, if somebody says, hi, Ken Bone, I'm thinking, man, that's alpha, right? But he was more like Ken Bone, not Ken Bone, Ken Bone. Here's his first question. Not the first question up for bids on the first question in tonight's Family Feud. Here's the question he asked at the debate.
What steps will your energy policy take to meet our energy needs while at the same time remaining environmentally friendly and minimizing job loss for fossil power plant workers?
Now, again, listening to Ken's voice, I'm sure he's a nice guy, and I don't want to bash him, but he is in the public eye now, and I'm not going to bash him per se, but Ken doesn't exactly exude the alphaness of yours truly or yourself. Ken is more melancholy beta, if you will. Now, he was on, so he got famous because he had this red sweater, and all of a sudden he becomes an internet viral sensation. Next day, on the Clinton News Network with Carol Costello. I wonder if she's any relation to Abbott and Costello. She is, because she is kind of a clown, so she is kind of a comedy routine when you watch her show. But this is the interview with Carol Costello the next day on CNN.
Why you chose to wear that red sweater, can you share with us?
I had a really nice olive suit that I love a great deal, and my mother would have been very proud to see me wearing on television. but apparently I've gained about 30 pounds. And when I went to get in my car the morning of the debate, I split the seat of my pants all the way open. So the red sweater is plan B. I'm glad it worked out.
A real alpha never, never, never in a million years would ever admit that, either publicly or privately. You never say, well, I gained some weight and I split the seat of my pants, so therefore I couldn't wear the suit and I had to wear the sweater to cover up the opening in my crotch. Please. Nothing exudes wussified beta-ness more than, I gained weight and I ripped my pants open, Carol. Please do not embarrass yourself. Look, I remember I bought a brand new suit, not from my official haberdasher, Kirby's, finest menswear haberdasher in the Cigar City. It was out in Vegas a number of years ago. Brand new suit, Canali suit, beautiful. Italian suit, super 180s, nice material, felt great, looked great. I go to wear it the first day. They alter it. I go to wear it. I kid you not. Within a few minutes, I'm walking downstairs, and all of a sudden, I feel this rip. They didn't sew the bottom when they altered the trousers. They didn't sew the bottom back in properly. Now, did I say, got to go, everybody. My pants, the crotch just came undone. No. Walking downstairs, and I said, you know what? I forgot something in the upstairs. Let me go grab it. I'll be right down. And I changed. People said, wait a minute. Weren't you wearing another suit? I said, yeah. And you know what? I realized I had a stain I didn't catch. I never said there was a rip in the crotch. I never said it was coming undone. You take the alpha route. Now, let's talk about another interview he was on with Jimmy Kimmel earlier this week. Let's talk about something which proves his royal beta-ness.
Before you go, I have one question. I'd like to go to the studio audience. Someone in the audience has a question for Ken. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Last night when you asked about energy policy, there was something I knew I needed to ask you. How did you ever get such a fresh and cool style?
That's a great question.
I would love to say that I was born this way. I think the short answer is that my wife dresses me like all great Americans.
No. Wrong, Ken Bone. All great Americans, alpha Americans, do not have their wife or their mommy dress them. They do not have their wife or their mommy shop for them. No, alpha Americans, Ken Bone, dress themselves. They pick their own suits. They pick their own color combinations. Never once have I ever had a member of the harem, a squeeze or my mommy, ever select what I am going to wear. And I don't remember my father ever saying to my mother, what should I wear today? What sport coat? What tie? What shirt? Never, never, ever. Alpha males dress themselves. This is a huge problem. And this represents the majority of American men now, wussified betas that have been feminized, that cannot make decisions for themselves. Litation libation ceremony is next. 100% alpha here at Command Center Alpha.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle. Always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
Big Bike Weekend 2016 thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, nonstop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bett on the main stage. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Redding, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
The tallest trees, volcanic landscapes, and an underground river are just part of what can be found in our national parks. Explore what makes them special and inspiring at Turtle Bay Exploration Park this season. Find Your Park, Find Your Heart is open October 1st through January 8th at Turtle Bay. Find Your Park is presented by Five Star Bank and is a collaboration with the National Park Service and the Shasta Historical Society. For park hours and more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Political week begins Monday as we welcome Rob Rowan, who is the Democrat running for California State Senate against Ted Gaines. Let's find out what Rob wants to accomplish if elected. Also joining us is Bill Chappelle running for re-election for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Let's find out if there's any changes that Bill wants to make. What's he going to do about crime, jail, and more? All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
Well, as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest, I need a fine pairing, a cigar that's going to go with my beer and vice versa. I have pulled out a Padron 1964 Anniversary Maduro, introduced in 1994 to commemorate the Padron 30th anniversary at the time. This cigar was really the first super premium cigar, not only for Padron, but in many instances, all of the cigar world. Because at the time, George Padron had just come back from the Cigar Retailers Convention and said to his father, Jose O. Padron, Dad, we need something different. There's a big demand for a super premium cigar, something different, maybe a square press cigar, something that's going to be super aged. It's going to be a higher price cigar. Initially, his father said, what? You'll never get that kind of money for a cigar. And George said, let's try it. His father agreed, and they came up with a Padron 1964 Anniversary Series, undisputed hit. All the tobaccos used in the 1964 Anniversary aged 4 years, smooth, complex Cuban style of box pressing. And the cigar uses a wrapper filler, binder, all from Nicaragua. Nicaraguan puro. It is smooth as can be. Fantastic cigar. I pulled out the Exclusivo, 5.5 inches in length with a 50 ring gauge, beautiful Robusto, about $12, $13 suggested retail. And if you have not already, we taped a, I was at Padron headquarters for about 3-4 hours, the end of June. We taped 3 segments that we aired throughout the month of July. Fascinating conversation with George Padron and Jose O. Padron, and you will just be amazed at the history. In fact, George told me there were many items that he learned in that conversation with his dad that he never knew before. So it's right on the homepage, CigarDave.com. Light up a Padron, and I'm telling you, listen to the series. You will find it to be incredibly, not only interesting, but historically fascinating, and a true great American success story.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready to go.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
All right, I've got my Cigar Dave signature lock and load from the R&D laboratories. We call this the grenade. It looks like a hand grenade, giant tank, about a 4-inch single jet flame that flies out. I can control the fuel-air mixture. That's what I will use today on my Padron 1964 Anniversary Maduro.
Cigar pre-lightation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
All right, a perfect cut. Let me now toast the foot of the cigar. Oh, listen to that. Listen to that. Toasting beautifully, taking our time, no rush. Nice toasting of the wrapper. Now the binder. Now I'll get to the filler. Again, just taking my time. I want a nice, even amber glow. I'll puff and rotate. Doesn't take long. Great draw. Blow on the foot. Needs one little touch-up. Puff and rotate. Beautiful. Padron 1964 Anniversary Maduro is lit. I need the proper accompaniment.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
All right, I have already opened up my Cigar City Brewing Maduro Brown Ale can. Because, truth be told, I couldn't wait. I needed at the last segment to refresh my palate, a little warmth down the palate, so I opened it up just a little bit ahead of time. But I did just break out a brand new chilled frosted Bierstein, and I am pouring the Cigar City Brewing Maduro Brown Ale. Very quickly, I want to tell you about this brown ale. This is a Northern English-style brown ale with some American affectations. Now, Maduro is higher in alcohol than most English brown ales. They put flaked oats in the malt bill, which imparts a silky body, gives it some nice toasted, almost dark chocolate-type flavor notes. So it's a complex beer, full-flavored, approachable, very, very nice. The alcohol by volume is 5.5%. IBU's International Bitterness Unit is 25, not going to be overly bitter. So let me say cheers. Notes of dark chocolate, little espresso, very smooth, very warm, not overly hoppy. Perfect accompaniment to my cigar. Very quickly, the October Officers Club selection is a Casa Torrent vertical sampler. We launched the Casa Torrent 1901 last year on the show. Now you have the 1942 and the 1973. That is the Officers Club selection. If you're not a member, go to CigarDave.com. Click on Officers Club, $22.95, gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. And the I can tell you that the San Andreas Morón wrapper that is on the Casa Torrent 1901, amongst the hottest cigar tobaccos now, the Torrents cannot keep up growing as much as they can. It is fantastic. When we come back, I will talk about a war against alpha males. I will talk about the D-Day invasion against Donald Trump. Users Jessica Leeds. The story is just not adding up. We shall continue.
If you miss any of the general show, you can catch up anytime with the Cigar Dave mobile app, presented by Diamond Crown. Listen to the most recent show simply by opening the app with our continuous replay, or you can download a podcast of a past show. Search Cigar Dave in the App Store to get it.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. I'm here with my brother Nish and my cousin Nimish, and we're talking cigars. Guess what? They want me to vote on what my favorite cigar is. It's tough, but I'm going to go with the Decade. I love it. It's rich, decadent, and smooth.
Rocky, you know what? The Decade's a great cigar, but the 15th anniversary, that's the cigar. That celebrated your 15 years in business, and I got to tell you, it's my favorite.
You know what, Nish and Rocky, you both are wrong. The best cigar is Freedom by Rocky Patel. This cigar delivers a lot of spice, a lot of flavor, and in my opinion, it's the best cigar we make.
As usual, we can't agree. But guess what? There's a great cigar for everyone. I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigars are not a safe alternative to cigarettes.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
Don't go anywhere. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. Just one more minute until Cigar Dave returns. Your five back in five. ...100% yay certified alpha male.
Trace Ocean.
It's the General Cigar Day.
There is for alpha males in this country. We know that. The feminists have been after the male species for 40 plus. All the entire root of evil, according to these feminists. And we are seeing this in the election now. The fact is that I believe now a majority of the country are women. And now there's a concerted effort by the women to now not only disintegrate men. We're seeing it every step of the way, and they specifically despise Donald Trump is an alpha male. Now, Wednesday was D-Day, as far as I'm concerned. That was the time that basically a coordinated all-out attack on Trump, to destroy Trump. Now, it's not a coincidence to have three on one of those accusers who said that Donald Trump groped her like an octopus on an airplane back in.
Sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
You say his hands were everywhere. Can you be specific?
Well, he was grabbing my breasts and trying to turn me towards him and kissing me. And then after a bit, that's when his hands started going. I was wearing a skirt, and his hands started going.
Sorry, Steve. Hold it right there. Now, she doesn't say anything. He starts supposedly groping her, puts his hand on her breast, starts kissing her, and she doesn't say anything? Don't you find that a little to a stranger? Let's say it depends on the stranger. If there's a hot woman that's next to me and she goes and grabs to reach my cock and I find her very attractive, the first thing I'm going to do is say, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say, greetings. Glad you found the pleasure stick. Or if she's not so hot, I'm going to say, sweetheart, there is nothing that's going to go on down there. Not happening. But you are going to say something, whether it's, what are you doing? Or stop, or what the hell? You are going to say something. She just sat there and didn't say a word? Suspicious. Continue.
Said, I don't know.
Is that literally what she
said? I don't know if I said it out loud or a guy in the other seat say something.
Is that right there? So it goes on. 15 minutes this goes on. That looking going, what the hell? Don't need this to get up and go back to coach? I'm sorry. It is not plausible. I am not buying it. Too many holes. Now, I know women are going to say, oh, well, you should automatically believe her. Why? She has the right to accuse. I have the right to say, wait a minute, let's look at common sense here. That's what any police officer would do. That's what any investigation would do. They would look at this and say, wait a minute, what the hell? Continue.
Did other people see?
The guy in the seat across the aisle could see. And I kept thinking, well, maybe the stewardess is going to come and he'll stop. But she never came.
Do you know how long that went on for?
Not real long. No. No. I would say just about, 15 minutes?
Now, wait a minute. That's not real long? Wait. That's not real long? Somebody kissing you against your will, groping you, sticking their hand up your skirt, sticking their hand down your blouse, touching your rack. You're saying 15 minutes? Come on. Not long? I'm not buying it. Let's finish this segment up, soundbite up, Steve.
Yeah.
Did he actually kiss you?
Yeah. Yeah.
On the face, on the lips?
Wherever he could find a landing spot, yes.
And, I mean, 15 minutes is a very long time.
Well, you know, it seemed like forever.
Oh, so wait a minute. She said it wasn't a long time, but it seemed forever, but yet doesn't say anything. And somebody sticks their hand on you and kisses you, you're not going to say, whoa, what's going on? And be startled and everybody else in the cabin hearing this? I'm not buying it. Again, just too implausible. Now, the next soundbite that I want to play is she mentions that at a charity event a few years ago, she ran into Trump and something that he said to her. Hit it.
And up to the table comes Donald Trump, and I hand the ticket for his table, and he looks at me, and he says, I remember you. You're the woman from the airplane. Now, he used another word.
What did he say?
It's obscene. It's obscene, and I don't want to go there.
But wait a minute. She doesn't want to go there. She doesn't want to go there. She has no problem making all these other accusations against Trump. He groped me. He kissed me. His tongue was down my mouth. 15 minutes this went on. And yet, she doesn't want to bring up what he said to her? I find that incredibly suspicious. If it were me, I'd say, I'll tell you exactly what he said. He told me to do this or told me to do that. She can certainly clean it up because you know that CNN's going to beep it out anyway. Or she can certainly say, you know, he told me to go F off or he called me the C word or whatever. But she doesn't say it. Let's wrap. Continue, Steve.
Acknowledged me. And I.
So he when he said you're the something from the airplane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was using a derogatory term.
Mm-hmm. As I recall it, I just said, here's your ticket. I hope you have a good evening. And I left pretty soon afterwards because I was thunderstruck. I was thunderstruck that he remembered me at all.
Yet she doesn't want to say what Trump said to her because it was so derogatory. Let me translate. Trump didn't say anything to her. She just made that up, but couldn't come up with something that he would say. And she knew damn well that if she said that, oh, yeah, Trump said this to me, and she'd be lying, she'd be caught in a slanderous and libelous act. That's why she didn't say what Trump said to her. No problem. You can make the accusation saying, oh, yeah, Trump said this derogatory. But she doesn't go on to say it. I would think you would want people to know, especially when you disparage the man over all these other accusations. Now, what exactly does she want? And I want you to listen to this because there is no question in my mind, and I will show you in just a bit. Somewhere along the line, she had been brokenhearted, or men did not treat her well, or she's got some sort of hard-on against men. Hit it.
Or what do I expect out of it? It would be nice if some men could have some sort of inkling that their behavior leaves a mark, leaves a scar, leaves a lot of pain.
And it okay, may hold it right there. I'm sorry. But if this supposedly happened on an airplane, I don't believe that's a scar and there's pain. Because first of all, she would have said something. But I believe that somewhere in her past, somewhere along the line, this woman got dumped and got dumped badly. And maybe it was more than one man. And I don't know the reasons why, but for whatever reason, this woman has a male bashing complex. Let's finish up the soundbite.
Fun and games to them, but it's not for a lot of women.
Fun and games to them, but not for a lot of women. I'm telling you right now, she got dumped and got dumped badly. But there is a little epilogue to this story. Because Jessica Leeds, on October 23rd, 2002, wrote a letter to the editor of the New York Times. To the editor, I wouldn't be surprised if you receive more than a few letters from people, mostly women, about to have and hold till driven apart in the car section on October 23rd. I thought long and hard about how to communicate to my husband, the true alpha male, that his driving is terrible. I've never had an accident, he says. Yes, but he'll make a new lane change so he can get ahead of the other cars. He will race through a yellow light. He will drag race with the car next to him. Oh, and when the light changes, he absolutely defines the New York minute. I have said to him, this is not a race. Driving the left lane is not a God-given right. Pushing through pedestrians to turn is not gentleman-like behavior. I'm lucky. I have a wonderful man as a husband, but he is a fool when he drives. Signed, Jessica Leeds. Ah! Notice how she gets the true alpha male. I am telling you the way she used the term alpha male by calling her husband the true alpha male, that is derogatory. And there is no question in my mind that this woman, who, by the way, 35 years ago, and I don't give a damn if a feminist says, oh, you're judging on her looks. Trust me when I tell you, Donald Trump's taste is hot models. My taste are hot women. Bodacious. Listen, blonde hair, big boobs. That's what I like. But I will tell you, this woman, even back when she was 39, in no way, shape, or form was any beauty queen. Not in the least. Okay? Not in the least. So I am very suspicious. And I think when somebody points the finger, I think the liberal mainstream media or the liberal-dominated media ought to investigate and pick some holes. Anderson Cooper just sat there, didn't question her story in any way, shape, or form. Well, they won't do it. But this true alpha male will, because I think it's only right that when an alpha male is attacked, all alpha males are attacked, and all I want, as being part of the frustrated majority, is the truth. She is not telling the truth, in my humble opinion. Lieutenants, we'll celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest next hour. Two home brewers will be joining us. We've got Phil Azun from his brew cave in St. Petersburg, Matt Puccio from Springfield, Missouri. Everything you need to know about home brewing, how they got into it, what you can learn from them. Hour number two of the Cigar Dave Show continues. Long live the Alpha.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with me, John Whitmarsh from Access Mortgage. We know how to say approved. I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience. So call me today at 945-9660. Let's get you into your dream home.
Access Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1096314.
This is Joe McKenna from CloudWise Academy. I learned a lot the hard way about internet marketing. Every month, I'll help you take control of how the internet impacts your business and your revenue. You'll hear the latest tech news from the digital world, but most importantly, get your tech and marketing questions answered. Learn what you need to know to manage the tech side of your business as effectively as you manage everything else. It's your chance to get those important questions answered. Join us for the Digital Revolution Radio Show every fourth Wednesday at KCNR 1460.
Community Talk Radio for the North State is KCNR Shasta Redding, where the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The Pacific Northwest, very windy this evening as heavy winds, some raging up to gusting 50 miles an hour, pass through Portland on its way up the coast into Washington and the Seattle area. The region was battered by high winds and rain yesterday.
There has been a series of storms that have been affecting the northwest of the United States over several days, and we do have another round of very heavy rain and high winds developing ahead of a system that is deepening rapidly this morning off the Pacific Northwest coast.
National Weather Service lead forecaster Bob Orvik. Cleanup continues in North Carolina over a week after Hurricane Matthew battered the area. Interstate 95 was closed this afternoon in both directions around Lumberton, and the Waccamaw and Little Petey Rivers were flowing into the South Carolina area at near-record levels. Governor Pat McCrory says he's never seen anything like it.
It's the most surreal experience that I've ever had encountered. I was a mayor 14 years. I'm in my fourth year as governor, and I've never had to deal with a disaster with the sun shining.
Meanwhile, two more storm-related deaths were reported in Cumberland and Lenoir counties, raising the state's death toll to 24. At least 40 people dead in the U.S. from the storm, more than 500 people killed in Haiti. Donald Trump's charging that the media is working with the Clinton campaign to smear him through the allegations by several women that he groped them and made unwanted sexual advances.
The election is being rigged by corrupt media pushing completely false allegations and outright lies in an effort to elect her president.
Earlier today, Trump tweeted the allegations are 100% fabricated. The Athens-based Institute of Geodynamics reports a 5-point magnitude earthquake struck near the northwestern Greek city of Ioannina, about 205 miles northwest of Athens today. There are no reports of any damages or casualties. This is
556 million people fall prey to cybercrime annually, resulting in more than 232 million identities exposed. Don't let yourself be a statistic. Use Webroot Internet Security. Webroot is the most comprehensive cloud-based antivirus software available, protecting you from zero-day threats and vicious viruses, malware, and phishing sites. And Webroot protects all your favorite devices, including your PC, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. They scour 95% of the internet 3 times a day, looking at billions of apps, files, URLs, and IP addresses to determine where and what is safe on the internet. So stop the hackers in their tracks by utilizing Webroot Internet Security and sleep easier knowing that you're protected no matter where you access the internet. Visit webroot.com/radio now to save 30% on your purchase of Webroot's internet security software. That's webroot.com/radio.
Mexico's security chief says Mexico could extradite the jailed leader of the Sinaloa drug cartel back to the U.S.
Imprisoned Sinaloa drug cartel leader Joaquin El Chapo Guzman's wanted on drug trafficking, organized crime, and homicide charges in the United States. But U.S. authorities have agreed to take the death penalty off the table. Mexico Security Commissioner Renato Sales Herrera says Chapo could be extradited by January or February, but his main attorney, Jose Refugio Rodriguez, disagrees, saying there are still a multitude of legal appeals before the process is exhausted. James Blears in Mexico.
Secretary of State John Kerry says Yemen's Houthi rebels released two U.S. citizens Saturday as part of a complicated diplomatic arrangement that included airlifts of Yemenis wounded by an airstrike this past week carried out by a Saudi-led coalition. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A Connecticut judge has dismissed a lawsuit by Newtown families against the maker of the rifle used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, saying federal law shields gun manufacturers from most lawsuits over criminal use of their products.
Superior Court Judge Barbara Bellis granted a motion by Madison, North Carolina-based Remington Arms to strike the lawsuit by the families of nine children and adults killed and a teacher who survived the 2012 attack. A gunman killed 20 children and six adults at the school with an AR-15-style rifle. Bellis cited the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act passed by Congress in 2005 that protected gun makers from such lawsuits. Patrick Foss reporting.
U.S. military says it's detected what they're being describing as a failed missile launch by North Korea. Missiles presumed to be a Mossad and intermediate-range ballistic missile, and military officials say it did not pose a threat to North America. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Your Halloween adventure begins with Wind River Resort and Casino's Under Construction Halloween Bash, featuring the well-known hip-hop duo Ying Yang Twins, performing Salt Shaker, Wait, The Whisper Song, What's Happening, and Bad. Plus, DJ Chris will be spinning live beats all night long. The Under Construction Adventure kicks off on Saturday, October 29th at 9 o'clock. Drink specials, dancing, cash drawings, costume contest, over $3,000 in cash and prizes. Presale general admission is $20, $25 day of show. VIP booth $250 includes six guests, swag, cocktail service, and two bottles of champagne. This signature event sells out fast. Get your tickets now, 1-800-280-YOU-WIN, or online at windriver.com. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place to be for your under-construction Halloween adventure. Don't forget to check out our hotel packages. Must be 21 to attend. For details, log on to windriver.com. We offer our guests a free safe ride courtesy shuttle home. Halloween is better at the river.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Cigar Oktoberfest may have ended in München, in Bavaria, in Deutschland, but we continue wearing our lederhosen here in the United States and here on the Cigar Dave Show as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest the entire month of October. And in this hour, we shall continue our series on home brewing. Last week, we were at Avid Brewing Company in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida, with Jeff Keller and Connor Meyer. They went through Home Brewing 101, the science of brewing. And we'll continue that this hour with two Avid home brewers, no pun intended. We were at Avid last week, but both of these gentlemen today are big-time Avid brewers. Home brewers, that is. We will continue. I've got my Padron 1964 Maduro that I'm thoroughly enjoying. Just about finished my Cigar City Brewing Maduro Brown Ale, which means I'm ready to open up a brewski to get me through hour two. Welcome back, number two of the Cigar Dave Show. As always, lieutenants, make sure you follow me on social media. go to our website, CigarDave.com, which is a cornucopia of alpha male pleasure content. And on the upper right, you will see that you can just click and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Without any further delay, I'm going to select for this hour from Blue Point Brewing Company in Long Island their winter ale. Now, this is one of their seasonals. They also come out with a summer ale. This is their winter ale, a hearty, robust amber ale. They use pale Vienna crystal chocolate malts, balanced character of malts and hops, just the right amount of spice to warm you up during the colder months. This is available fall and winter. Alcohol by volume, 7.7%. IBU, International Bitterness Units, 30. So it's going to be a little bit more on the hoppy side. And the gravity, 1.07. We will get to gravity in just a little bit. But Blue Point Brewing was founded 1988, Long Island's first craft brewery, co-founded by two gentlemen who love beer. Just like many people that we see, they took their passion, their hobby, and turned it into a business. So let me open up the Brew Point. There we go. Got my winter ale. Of course, I always have a chilled glass. I don't drink it out of a bottle. No, thank you. Now, this is a deep-looking dark brown. There's no question about it. Almost a reddish rosado color. Nice foamy head. Wonderful aromas, some spice, some cinnamon. On the nose, I'll say cheers. Take a sip. Wow. Expansive on the palate. A lot of notes of espresso. Definitely some maple pumpkin spice. And just a tad bit of hoppiness. But overall, drinks like a nice dark stout. Very pleasant. So the Blue Point Brewing Winter Ale from Long Island is now in my beautiful chilled beer stein, and I will enjoy this throughout the hour. Now, let me welcome two longtime friends to the Cigar Dave Show. First, joining us from his home brew pad in St. Petersburg, Florida, where we were last week, longtime friend as well as a producer and director of creative services for the Cigar Dave Show, Phil Azun, known on the show as Phil R. Blend. Phil, welcome to the show. Great to have you from your home brew pub.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having me again, Dave. Pleasure to be back.
I understand you have an assistant brewer that is joining you today.
Yes, that would be my dog, Louie.
Louie, fantastic. You got to love that. Louie will be assisting what, on putting in the hops or just licking the bowl when it's all done?
Yes, the latter, pretty much.
There you go. Okay. And also joining us today on our Cigar Oktoberfest home brewing series from Springfield, Missouri. I say it just the way they say it in the Show Me State. We've got Matt Puccio. Lieutenant Matt, greetings front and center.
Long ashes and tall head on that beer to you, General.
Back at you. And by the way, a happy birthday. It was your birthday a couple of days ago. And I know that from your father, Colonel Ange, you had a wonderful time. You were out in the Rocky Mountain region, I understand, actually collecting water for Coors Beer.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we did a little sampling of some of the delicious ales that are available out in that region, and we had a great view of the Rockies while we were out there as well, too. But we are back in the Show Me State for the weekend.
Outstanding. So, Matt, tell us how you became an avid home brewer.
It's a great story, you know. I think it's something that a lot of your listeners can relate to. So if you enjoy beer and you enjoy a variety of beer, you start to question how are these beers made and why are they different. And I was very lucky. I just had a couple of friends that said, you know, hey, we just started doing this home brewing thing. And we're just going to meet up after work at a buddy's place of business in the garage, believe it or not, of his place of business. And you can watch and see what we do. It's really pretty easy. And so I just hung out and watched these guys brew for an evening. And when I saw what it took to make your own beer, and I knew that I could, I knew that these guys were, and of course, through the whole process were handing me home brews, and I was trying all these great, you know, homemade beers that had such great variety and flavor to them. I was instantly hooked. So I went to my local homebrew store and you know, bought some beginner equipment just to get started. And the bug bit me instantly, and I was surprised at just in order to get a good quality beer, a good tasting beer, how easy it was. You did not have to be a rocket scientist, though there is certainly some science going on, and how great these beers tasted. And it was really not that complicated of a process.
Matt, how long ago was that?
That was about 15 years ago, General.
So 15 years you've been a home brewer hobbyist would be, I guess, the correct term. And
sure.
What was your first, how did you start? Did you go out and buy a kit? Did you buy a Mr. Beer? What was your first foray into home brewing?
Well, here's where I'm lucky, because I think so many people out there, you know, they get these kind of plastic all-in-one kits and that kind of thing, and they give it a go, and things just don't turn out right. I was very lucky to have a great local home brewing shop to kind of steer me in the right direction, and also have some friends that had done a little bit of home brewing. So, you know, I wasn't just completely and totally doing it on my own. I had a little bit of direction. So, but again, I spent very little money. I spent under $100 to get all the gear I needed to, you know, start from the stage of boiling wort to getting down to fermenting and then bottling beer. You know, I had everything I needed in my first basic setup for under $100. I bought a beer kit for the ingredients that was already assembled that had the malt extract and had the hops and all of the ingredients that it takes in order to make the beer, along with instructions on how to do it, which I think is a great way for someone to start off. It gives them that structure and makes it very easy. Mine was just a simple British pale ale. And the beer was very drinkable. It was a 5-gallon batch, and it produced about 2 cases of British pale ale. And the beer was so good that I was hooked, and been hooked for a decade and a half now.
Now, Phil, let's go to you. Tell us how long you've been home brewing and how you first got into home brewing.
I've been at it about 2 years, and I got started with somebody who you are actually familiar with, Dave. That's Jay, who started Barley Mow here in Largo. He was a bartender at a local establishment prior to opening Barley Mow, and I used to frequent that establishment, and Jay used to bring in his beers while he was working for his regular guests and would let us all sample it, and I just kind of started seeing all the different types of styles he was bringing in and sampling them. And I said, wow, if he can do this, I know I could probably do this. And he was real encouraging. And about 2 months later, I got a kit for my birthday from my better half.
And what kind of kit did you get?
Just a basic starter kit, 2 5-gallon buckets, a hygrometer, a mash paddle, basically any a regular starter kit that you could buy at Avid for about $99. And I kind of just took it from there. I started out with extracts. I did 3 extracts, I think, at the beginning. And then I just switched over to all grain after watching a few videos and talking to a few guys in our beer club. And I've been hooked ever since.
Now, when you started, Phil, did you go to a class? Did you go online to look at any videos? Did you read books? How did you learn to brew?
I actually did read a book, How to Brew, and then I just started watching a lot of YouTube videos and just trying to soak up as much knowledge about it as I could, that I could.
And when you talk about extracts, what's the difference between the extracts and a regular brew?
You're not mashing. You take out the mash step because the extract is basically a syrup, and the mash is already taken care of for you. It's basically for apartment dwellers and guys or girls who don't want to spend a whole lot of time and, you know, doing it. They can opt for an extract, and it takes about an hour or two out of the process, but it also kind of limit you on the styles and the amount of different flavor profiles you can add to the beer.
And as we learned last week when we were at Avid Brewing Company with Jeff Keller and Connor Meyer and talking about the science of brewing, the 8 or 9 steps, That is step two when you talk about mashing the grain. The first step is selecting your malted grain, your hops, your yeast, your adjuncts, of course, having water, the raw materials. Step two is mashing the grain, where you steep the grains in hot water between 142 degrees and 159 degrees for about an hour or two. So basically that takes out step two, so you're ready for the third step. Actually, it also takes up step three. It takes out step three, Phil, which is sparging, which is rinsing the sugar out of the grains to create the wort. So basically, it takes two steps out of the eight-step process.
Correct. And actually, it takes about 2 hours out of your day. If you don't want to spend a 6-7 hour day brewing an all grain, you can spend 3 hours, 4 hours brewing an extract kit.
All right, we're talking on our Cigar Oktoberfest home brewing series with Matt Puccio joining us from Missouri. I love saying Missouri because that's the way Harry Truman said it. Not Missouri, but Missouri. You know, and it's funny because I'll never forget. I went to a wedding. My college roommate was from Missouri. And at the wedding, I'll never forget this. The rabbi says, and by the authority from the great state of Missouri. And that's the first time I really heard it. And then I heard that all these other politicians and other people from Missouri say Missouri. So got to call it the correct name, Missouri. So we got Matt Puccio from Missouri. We've got Phil Azun joining us from his brewing cave in St. Petersburg, where he's about to begin some brewing operations. We'll go through that. We'll continue our conversation, homebrewing, science of brewing, with two great homebrewers as we continue.
The October selection for the Cigar Dave Officers Club is a Casa Torrent vertical sampler, including the Casa Torrent Siri 1973 from A. Torrent Cigars. This cigar uses a San Andreas Criollo wrapper and binder with fillers from Mexico and Nicaragua. The Casa Torrent Siri 1973 is a medium-bodied smoke that is extremely smooth. It's easy to join the Officers Club to have these cigars shipped directly to you. Just log on to CigarDave.com.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. On a daily basis, our personal rights, freedoms, and privileges are being taken away by the government, by the people who don't want us to enjoy the fine things in life. Cigars. Guess what? Socialism stinks. Cigars don't. So in order to celebrate life, we decided to release the freedom. This great cigar from Nicaragua has tones of coffee, spice, pepper, with a great underlying sweetness. It's got a beautiful Ecuadorian wrapper, fillers from different parts of Nicaragua, and guess what? It's priced very fairly. So go out and celebrate the fine things in life and enjoy your freedom by lighting up a Rocky Patel Freedom. I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigars are not a safe alternative to cigarettes.
The brand new Cigar Dave mobile app for both iPhone and Android devices is finally out. If you go right now, either to the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store, search for Cigar Dave and download our brand new app. It allows you to listen to the show live on your mobile device. You can listen to all of our podcasts. The last 10 podcasts are always available, Cigar Dave Daily Briefings. Additionally, it gives you direct access within the app to our Twitter page, our Facebook page. We also have the ability for you to call the show during the show right from the app, as well as send me a text message and an email. We also put in a couple of bonus items. You can get a weather alert as well as an alarm clock. It is the brand new Cigar Dave mobile app. You can listen to the Cigar Dave show anytime, any place, anywhere. Go right now to the iTunes Store or Google Play Store and download the brand new Cigar Dave mobile app.
It's an exquisite day here at the Jensen Estate patio overlooking the 13th Green.
And we're underway. Jim Jensen has chosen his favorite stick,
the Diamond Crown No. 4 by J.C. Newman.
See the way he holds the cigar, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent balance and heft.
Ooh, he's eyeing the silky Connecticut Shade wrapper, fermented twice for the smoothest, richest flavor.
And hand-rolled by the Fuente family with a blend of 6 to 7 distinct Dominican and Caribbean Basin tobacco leaves.
Each lovingly aged for at least 5 years. Oh, now Jensen's lighting up the Diamond Crown.
He's got a precision burn, Tom.
Tom.
Those highly complex flavors with hints of dark chocolate really deliver, Bill.
Yes, like all cigars in J.C. Newman's Premium Diamond Crown line.
That'd be the highly rated Maximus and the Julius Caesar.
Ah, now Jensen's settling in, rolling the rich smoke through his nose.
Look at the satisfaction on his face, Bill.
Oh, a thing of beauty, Tom.
Experience the Premium Diamond Crown brand by J.C. Newman at select retailers or Diamond Crown Lounge near you. Find us on Facebook at J.C. Newman Cigar Co. or visit DiamondCrown.com.
Thoroughly enjoying my Padron 1964 Maduro, which is going beautifully with this Blue Point Winter Ale. Just a magnificent, this drinks, even though it's an ale, drinks more like a chocolate stout. Magnificent. Wonderful taste, wonderful aroma, a little bit of pumpkin spice, very pleasant, highly recommended. We continue talking home brewing as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest, continuing our home brewing series, and we've got two home brewers joining us. We've got Matt Puccio from Missouri. Correction, Missouri. Got to get that straight. Missouri, the show me state. And we've got Phil Azun, also better known as Phil Arblend during his days on the Cigar Dave Show, from his brew cave in St. Petersburg. Now, Phil, you have begun to brew as we speak. What are you brewing?
I'm brewing a Goza today.
Now, we learned about a Goza last week. Why don't we refresh our alphas about what a Goza is?
A Goza is a very light, not a lager. It's actually an ale, but it's very light, very drinkable, very quenching. It's this recipe today, I'm shooting for about 4.6% alcohol. It has a tinge of tartness, but it's not considered a sour beer. But it does have a slight tartness to it. It's just a really delicious drinking beer for Florida. Even though we're coming to the end of summer, or actually in the early fall here, it's still warm here. So this is a great beer to have by the pool, and you can drink several of these and not, you know, feel like, you know, you get hammered off of them. As the guy said last week, it's a dangerous beer because you can drink a lot of them.
What is the significance of achieving 4.6% alcohol by volume? Why do you want that specific number?
Well, you could actually shoot for whatever you want. This style really is not known for it's more for taste rather than the alcohol of it. Other styles tend to lean more towards heavier alcohol. Your IPAs, your Belgians. Even your imperial stouts, a Goza typically by style is usually under 5%.
All right, so Goza is what you are brewing now. Take us through the process. What's going on right now?
Right now, I'm mashing, and my mash temperature. I'm shooting for a drier rather than like you were talking about earlier. The mash temperature is between 142 and 159. On the lower end of that on that scale, you'll get a drier beer. On the higher end of that scale, you'll get somewhat more of a fuller, sweeter, more maltier beer. This style is more on the dry side. So I'm mashing right now at 149, and I'm about 50 minutes in. When I hit the 60-minute mark, I'm going to add 2 pounds of acidulated malt. And the acidulated malt is going to provide that tartness for it. And I'm going to hold that 149 temperature for another 45 minutes.
Now, two questions. First, what is acidulated malt?
Acidulated malt, or short for acid malt, it's another kind of malt. But what it does is it imparts tartness. You could also, a lot of guys use it in smaller doses to reach a pH of about 5.3, which is a good mash pH. But for this particular style, I'm actually using it more for its acid qualities, more of its tartness, that to impart that into the mash. And then, of course, that part it into the beer.
Now, when you use the term dry, you're mashing at 149 degrees. Define dry.
just not sweet, more crisp, dry. Like your October, a lot of your Oktoberfest beers tend to be more on the heavier malt side, a little more sweeter.
Right.
This is just more of a refreshing, dry kind of beer, which you don't really get a lot. It's not very malt forward.
All right, we will continue our conversation during our Cigar Oktoberfest home brewing series. Two home brewers. We just heard from Phil Azun in his brewing cave, St. Petersburg, Florida, and Matt Puccio from Springfield, Missouri. And when we come back, we'll talk about their favorite brews, what they like, what they look for, their trials and tribulations in home brewing. If they can do it, we all can do it. So, fellow alphas, we will continue celebrating Cigar Oktoberfest. No enemies of pleasure allowed.
Download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Android, Kindle, and iOS so you can listen to The General anytime, anywhere. The Cigar Dave mobile app is presented by Diamond Crown. Search Cigar Dave in the App Store today.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and...
This is Pastor Terry Oxley of True Life Church in Bella Vista. We are living in a society where a handful of political leaders whose minds have been corrupted and depraved are making laws and life-altering decisions that affect all of us, especially our children. These insane, foolish laws are being forced on us regardless of our beliefs. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ and a commitment to live by God's Word will protect you from this moral decay. What are you doing to protect those you love from this insanity? If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible without compromise, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit us at our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Uncle Bob!
Uncle Bob!
Uncle Bob!
Uncle Bob!
What do you want?
Why does Mount Shasta spring water taste so good?
Because it comes from our protected springs at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. Uncle Bob, where does the water come from? From melting glaciers high atop Mount Shasta.
Wow, Uncle Bob, it's pure and simple.
Mount Shasta spring water is naturally the best. Yes, and anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227. Tell them Bob the Drop sent you.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
This is your life, good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
Hi,
I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
I can see the robust, rotund women that are serving the beer in the big steins at Oktoberfest in Deutschland in München with their ample amounts of rackage, stackage, and boobage and decolletage just flying out. And by the way, if any of you women are offended, too damn bad, because we are not politically correct. And in fact, I celebrate the boob here on the Cigar Dave Show. And we'll get, as we talked about in the first hour, we do not care about the feminists. We are proud to be alpha males. No hint of wussification or betaness anywhere in Command Center Alpha or anywhere in our distilleries or in our brew caves. We continue our series on home brewing as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest. We have got Phil Azun from his brew cave in St. Petersburg, Florida. And we've got Matt Puccio in Springfield, Missouri. So, Matt, tell us about your favorite styles. What do you like to brew? Have there been any styles that you've gravitated towards over other styles?
Well, that's a great thing about home brewing is you can make the beer taste exactly like you want to. And the great thing about the beers of the world is there's such an amazing variety out there. So your only limit is your imagination. Which is such a great thing about brewing. It's like cooking. You can make it taste any which way you want. Myself, I brew pretty much just ales. I don't have the equipment to do the lagering, though I have done some kind of basic caveman style lagering in the garage in the winter, slowly moving it from the garage door closer and closer to the house to affect the temperature. His head's going to explode when he hears me that it's not very technical. But that being said, I gravitate towards ales. I like stronger ales. I have a Belgian strong ale recipe that's become kind of a standard for me. I also like some of the British barley wines, which tend to be very high gravity beers, sometimes as high as double-digit alcohol by volume, so 10, 11, 12%. But then I also like, you know, just like an oatmeal stout or, a simple porter. And, of course, I love hoppy beers, too, so pale ales and IPAs. I didn't really narrow it down for you, did I, General?
Well, that's okay. You're just like people who enjoy cigars or you're a connoisseur of steaks. I know your dad, Colonel Ange. We like the tomahawk ribeye. We like the New York strip. Sometimes you like ribs. Sometimes you want a burger. It's all over the place. And I think that's the great thing about being a home brewer. You can wake up one morning and say, you know, I want to try something brand new. Or the next week saying, I'm going to go back to my favorite ale that I like to make. Now, is there any... Out of all of those, is there any one that you gravitate towards more than the other?
Yeah, I would say if I had a signature beer, it would be my Belgian strong ale.
And what define a Belgian strong ale?
So, well, that's kind of a wide variety as well, too. But you're going to generally have a beer that's made with a Belgian malt. You're going to generally be at a higher gravity, probably somewhere between 7 and 10%. Mine falls right around 8% normally.
Now, let's talk about gravity. What does that mean? What does that gravity mean?
So So, yeah, so what we're talking about is the original gravity taken by a hygrometer, which you're measuring the sugars that are in the beer, and you're measuring the beer's fermentability, and then you measure its final gravity, meaning how much of those sugars have been fermented out of the wort, and then once the fermentation is finished, you measure those two numbers against each other, and you have a formula that you can plug in and get your actual alcohol by volume. So generally, when we say a higher gravity beer, we mean a beer that is higher in alcohol by volume.
So less sugars, higher gravity, less sugar, lower gravity, more sugars.
No, not necessarily. We're starting off with more sugar and a higher gravity beer, and we are fermenting them out. But we can still end with a relatively malty beer or a sweeter beer, or we could still end with a drier beer and still have a higher alcohol content. So it's not necessarily the end result. It's more of how much of those sugars have we fermented out of the beer. Does that make sense?
It does. It does make sense.
How did
the lager come out, by the way?
How did which lager come out?
The one I did in the garage.
It came out outstanding. Thanks for asking. Yeah, so I think that's an example of Charlie Papazian is a very famous author and has written Complete Joy of Home Brewing is probably his most famous of all of his books. And that one thing that he always says is, don't worry, have another home brew. So when a mishap happens or you don't do something precisely the way it's supposed to be done, the key is to just continue to forge on, have another homebrew, don't worry, have another cigar, and odds are you're still going to have a very drinkable beer, even if you've had a little mishap along the way.
And we'll talk about mishaps and what you've learned along the way. And I think that's really how you learn to become a better home brewer, by the mistakes and mishaps along the way. And you let Mother Nature, interesting, you let Mother Nature do the work. The cold temperature in the winter in Missouri, you had it in the garage where it's obviously cooler, and then you slowly brought it closer to the house where it was warmer. So that's a very ingenious way of making a lager without having the proper equipment per se. Now, Phil, let me ask you, tell us about your favorite styles, what you gravitate towards.
I tend to gravitate towards IPAs and Saisons, but I also do like to brew stouts and porters as well. But IPAs, I'm a hophead. I love hoppy beers.
Now, the IPA is an India pale ale, and it actually goes back, traces its roots back to the shipping days, way back before there was any refrigeration. And the way that they were able to transport beer was by making it a hoppier beer to keep it fresh, keep it from turning and spoiling. And so we have IPAs, double IPAs. So you gravitate towards that. And there was, what was the other one you said you gravitate towards as well?
Saison.
Saison.
That's a French and Belgian style.
And that's a light beer. A Saison is very refreshing, very light, very crisp.
It can be, but it can range. Saisons now, I mean, I just saw one at a local establishment here recently that was only 2.9%, but you can also get Saisons upwards into the 8% range. It's basically a Saison is whatever you've got lying around, throw it in as far as malts. There's really no set malts or adjuncts that you can put in it. It basically first came about from the farmhands in France and Belgium, and they brewed with essentially anything that they had. And it could be some vegetables, some spices, it just whatever floats your boat, really.
It's the garbage plate of beer.
Yeah, but
a little bit of a mixture of everything, like a stew. Just put it all in there.
Sort of, but what really gives it its style flavor is the yeast. Saison has a specific flavor. The yeast gives it a really specific flavor. It imparts citrusy notes, peppery, spicy notes, and that in conjunction with the different malts that you throw in really gives a really, really unique beer.
So the yeast that you put in there, the specific yeast, is what really makes that Saison special.
Absolutely. As well as what Matt was saying, he brews his Belgian beer. The Belgian yeast that he uses also is what really gives that beer its flavor.
Now, Phil, I know you've told me that you've entered in, you've only been doing it a few years, but I know that Jeff and Connor from Avid Brewing were mentioning that you've actually entered in numerous competitions and have placed pretty high. Haven't won anything yet, but they said that really getting very, very close. So tell us some of the beers you've entered into the competition and how you finished.
Well, usually IPAs and Saisons, and those are the ones that I've advanced to the final rounds, which depending on the category, you could have anywhere from 10 entries to 70 entries. I tend to go towards the beers I like, which are IPAs and Saison, but they also happen to be some of the most heavily entered categories as well. So winning those categories is tough. I mean, you're up against guys who've been brewing for 10, 15, 20 years who have really honed their skills. And I'm actually, not to toot my own horn, I'm pretty pleased that I've come in, you know, I've made the finals three different times up against some pretty strong brewers, and my scores keep getting better.
And I think it's like anything, it's experience.
Yep.
The more experience you get, the more confidence you get, then you will be able to enter beers. And if you're placing in the finals now, just probably some slight tweaks, and you will get there. Now, when we come back, I want to talk about some of the pitfalls, some of the mishaps, what you've learned during your home brewing careers that you can impart to others to maybe assist them as they begin their home brewing hobby, and ways that you could guide them, make sure they don't hit the wrong things. And I always say that smart men learn from their mistakes, wise men learn from others. So when we come back, we will talk about that. We are talking Cigar Oktoberfest, our home brewing series. Phil Azun from his brew cave in St. Petersburg. We've got Matt Puccio from Springfield, Missouri. Our final and concluding segment of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show is next.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
As a cigar connoisseur, one of the pleasures that we derive is walking into our retailer's humidor and seeing the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. 9 years ago, I had the idea that I wanted to share great cigars with the cigar lieutenants. So, the Officers Club was born. Every month, you will receive three fantastic premium cigars direct to your door, shipped in a very dapper Officers Club customized Ziploc cigar pouch. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. No long-term contracts. You can cancel whenever you want. You enjoy great cigars right to your door. Names like Perdomo, Diamond Crown, Brick House, San Latano, Rocky Patel, Torano, CAO, Avo, Camacho, Greycliff, and many more. Join the Officers Club today. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and for $22.95, you'll get the latest and greatest in the world of cigars.
In the fertile fields of the Connecticut River Valley.
Everyone knows it's important to take care of your vehicle, and it'll take care of you. Premier Oil Change and Havoline Motor Oil would like to help. Get up to $10 off on your oil change through October 31st while using Havoline Motor Oil at Premier Oil Change. You'll also earn bonus points towards free oil changes and other discounts with Premier Oil Change while staying in the comfort of your car. Premier serves you free soft drinks and free Wi-Fi while waiting. The wait is short. We pride ourselves on efficiency and customer service. Bring in your new car with less than 10,000 miles and your first service is on us. Havoline Motor Oil has been helping families protect what matters for over 100 years. Let us both help today with $10 off on your oil change through October 31st. Learn more the next time you stop by or go to our website at PremierOilChange.com. In Palo Cedro, Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. And don't forget to add your favorite veggies. And if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Cigar Oktoberfest continues on the Cigar Dave Show. Home brewing. Talking with two home brewers, continuing our home brewing series. We've got Matt Puccio in Springfield, Missouri. And we've also got Phil Azun, longtime Cigar Dave Show producer, as well as creative services director, joining us from his brew cave in St. Petersburg. So, Phil, tell us, where are you along the way? Right now you said that you are mashing. In about another hour, you will sparge, correct?
About 45 minutes. I just added my 2 pounds of acidulated malt. I'm going to let that go for about 45 minutes, and then I'll begin the sparge process.
And sparging is when you rinse the sugar out of the grains to create the wort. How long does that take?
Typically about anywhere from 45 minutes to 75 minutes. Slower is better. You don't want to rush that because you want to extract as much sugar from the grains as possible. And if you rush it, and what I mean rush it is opening the valve on your mash tun too wide. If you open it and get too full of a stream, you're not going to get the full efficiency from your mash. And you really want to kind of just open that mash tun, just that valve, just slightly, and let it kind of trickle out and rinse the grains that way. And just let it be a slow process, because you really want to get as much sugars as you can out of that mash.
All right, and then the next step is boiling to concentrate the sugars, sterilize everything. How long does the boiling part take?
60 minutes.
So you got, after the sparge, there's boiling, then you add the hops during the boiling?
Yes, this particular batch I'm doing today is a very, very minimal. It's only a half ounce of hops, period. The acid malt and the yeast are the stars of this particular style.
Okay, then after you add the hops, then you will chill it to below 80 degrees. You want to cool the wort as quickly as possible so the flavors don't change. How long does that take?
It takes about a half an hour. I have an immersion chiller, which is basically copper coils, and you sterilize it inside the kettle while it's boiling for the last 15 minutes. And then you run cold water, ice cold water, through the coils, and that chills the wort down. And it takes anywhere, if you're good about stirring, you can get it down to about 68, 70 degrees in about 20, 25 minutes.
Okay, then you pitch the yeast, meaning you just throw the yeast in, correct?
Yeah, but you want to aerate the wort before you throw the yeast in. You really want to, this is the only time you actually want to add oxygen to your beer. You never want to add oxygen after your yeast have taken effect. What I mean aerate, you want to give the yeast something to eat and something to help them prosper. And when I mean aerate, you basically, you can shake it for about a minute, or you can stir it vigorously and really aerate that wort, and then throw your yeast in afterwards.
Okay, and then it's fermentation, where you wait, what, about 30 days? Just let the yeast do its job.
Yeah, this particular beer is actually most ales are about 10 days to 2 weeks of primary fermentation, and then secondary fermentation is where the beer starts to kind of clear itself out. The
right.
yeast start to fall to the bottom of the fermenter, and it just kind of refines them and just gets them nice and clean. This particular style, the primary on this will be about 7 days, and then I'll secondary rack it to a secondary vessel, let it clean itself out for another 7 days, and I'll probably put this on the keg in about 15, 16 days if everything fermentation goes as planned.
Okay, so you got about another 4 hours today, 4.5 hours or so, until you can get to the point where you put the wort in for fermentation.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. Now, Matt, let me ask you this. Many people are saying to themselves, I really want to become a home brewer. I want to try this. I'm going to buy books. I'm going to go to my home brewing store, take some classes. But give us some helpful hints along the way, because I'm sure there's been some experiences, some mishaps, some accidents where you've learned, things you've learned from. So if you could share those with our alphas that are about to get into home brewing.
What we want to remind people is no matter what happens, stick to the plan. Get back on track. But I would say, and I know Phil will agree with me on this one, if there's one thing in the brewing process, if there's one and only one thing, you're going to make sure that you do precisely the way it's supposed to be done. It's sanitation. You want to make sure that every single piece of equipment that you're using is fully sanitized and that there's very little room for error there. Because once you get a wild yeast strain or you get a bacteria that's affecting your beer as it's being, or your wort as it's being fermented, that can drastically change the flavor and quality of your beer.
Is it a health problem?
No, it's not necessarily a health problem. It's more has to do with the flavor of the beer.
Taste part. Okay. So, and you could buy sanitizing solution or powder or mixtures at the home brewing stores?
Exactly. And the most common is just called Star Sand. It's a liquid. It's odorless. It's tasteless. And it's highly concentrated. It takes just a couple of ounces for a large multi-gallon sanitation bin of water. And again, it takes very, very little. So it's not a challenging or difficult thing to do. But again, there's little room for error there because a wild strain of yeast or a bacteria gets in your beer and it could completely and totally ruin the batch. And I don't mean make it unhealthy or unsafe for you. It would just become undrinkable.
Okay, so sterilization along the way. Any other tips that you can provide to aspiring home brewers?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's always, I'd say the most common mistake that's made, or the most common mistake that I will have make is I'll lose track of time in my boil and I'll miss a hop addition. You know, you have your hops timed at certain points in your boil that you're going to add them. And, you know, you just get distracted or something happening and you realize, oh my goodness, I'm several minutes off. Just put it in at whatever time you realize it and go from there. And in most cases, the beer will still turn out great. Yes, it's not necessarily, if you're in a competition and you want precision, you know, the beer may be off. But believe me, it will still be very drinkable and you'll still make a great beer. And who knows, you might like it so much, you might change the recipe to reflect that error.
Okay, very quickly, how often do you brew, Matt?
There was a point in time where I was brewing every Wednesday night with a brew club. We met here in town, and we were brewing every Wednesday night. Since then, I have two kids now. We don't brew quite as frequently. We make sure we get together and we brew, we try to brew a batch for every season together and then a couple of batches in between at home. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Let me just, because we're tight on time. So, Phil, let me ask you, first of all, real quickly, two-word answer. How often do you brew?
Come again, Dave? You broke up. I couldn't hear your question.
Yeah, real quickly, how often do you brew?
Once a month, usually.
Okay, once a month, and real quickly, in 30 to 45 seconds, give us some tips for aspiring home brewers.
When you're mashing or when you're sparging and you're taking your wort into your kettle, make sure you close the valve on your kettle. Don't leave the kettle valve open because you'll have spilt wort all over your garage in a sticky mess, and your better half will not be happy with you.
Well, it's all about you. Forget the better half. It's all about you.
Yes, but a happy wife is a happy life.
But you are the alpha, so you run the show, and if something happens, you say, no problem, we'll get it taken care of. Yeah, go ahead.
I said, and that's what I do.
That's what you do. Good man, an alpha. All right, so, Phil, we appreciate you joining us. You got about 4 hours to go, 4.5 hours till your goza is ready to go into fermentation. So Phil Azun from his cave in St. Petersburg, his brewing cave, we appreciate it. Matt Puccio from Missouri, Springfield, Missouri. Matt, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your tips. All right. Home Brewing 101. Last week we gave you, you know, the first course. Today the second course from two avid home brewers. It's a great hobby. I may even take it up myself because I don't have enough pleasure hobbies. You can never have enough. Lieutenant Cigar Dave, the general, saying, may your humidor always be full. May your cutter always be sharp. May your ash be extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the alpha. Don't listen to the feminists. Make America great again. Screw the feminists.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster. At a Republican-Hindu coalition event in Edison, New Jersey tonight, Donald Trump says the U.S. and India need each other's help in the fight against ISIS.
The barbaric threat Hillary Clinton has unleashed onto the entire world. India is key and a key strategic ally, and we don't want to even talk about it because there's nothing like the relationship that we will have.
Earlier in Bangor, Maine, Trump said Clinton would take the country in the wrong direction.
This country is going to go for a ride downward like we've never seen. It'll be four more years of an incompetent president. Barack Obama was an incompetent president.
Death from above in San Diego. Fire Rescue Department spokesman Lee Swanson says an out-of-control pickup truck struck a guardrail on the San Diego Coronado Bridge, plunged off the span, and struck people at a motorcycle event in the park below.
There was a large rally going on, a party, and it landed on top of four people, killing them instantly.
Swanson says at least four others were injured when the truck fell on a vendor's tent this afternoon. It's a mess in the Northwest after a windstorm left a swath of downed trees and power lines in Oregon and Southwest Washington as it moved north. Tens of thousands of people are without power. Forecasters say the storm is expected to dissipate by late tonight. So far, no injuries have been reported. A powerful typhoon slamming Aurora Province in northeastern Philippines has left at least two people dead. Typhoon Karika forced the cancellation of some 200 domestic and international flights. Chicago Cubs lead the National League Championship Series 2-0 after they doubled up the Dodgers tonight, 8-4 the final. Earlier in the afternoon, it was Cleveland beating the Blue Jays 2-1 to take a 2-0 lead over Toronto. News and analysis at townhall.com.
So I got my X chair and was such a
such a huge fan and had such an amazing result from it that I ended up getting them for my entire staff. And I got to tell you, there's never been anything that we've done that has boosted morale or gotten as much productivity out of our team as just giving them these X chairs. It's amazing. Every day, people are coming in literally saying how much better they feel, how much longer they're able to work, how much more we're able to produce. And so it has really been a game changer for our agency because literally people are staying at work longer and getting more out of their day because of a chair. I would have never thought that was possible.
With 21st Century Design, X-Chair is a symbol of where you're at and where you're going. Go to ownxchair.com now. That's own, the letter X, chair.com. Or call us toll-free at 844-4XCHAIR and use the promo code BONUS to receive a free footrest. Get your free footrest by going to ownxchair.com now or call 844-4XCHAIR, promo code BONUS.
Mexico's National Security Commissioner says jailed drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman could be extradited to the United States by early next year.
Renato Sales says it could happen in January or February. A lawyer for Guzman said recently that a court could rule on his extradition around the end of the year, but he says either side would then be able to appeal. Sales also said in an interview posted online Friday that the Sinaloa drug cartel boss is not running absolutely anything from prison. Patrick Foss reporting.
A U.S. official says a new round of missiles has been fired again from a Houthi rebel-controlled region in Yemen, targeting the USS Mason in the Red Sea. The official says the Mason launched countermeasures and was not hit. The missile barrage comes just days after a U.S. warship fired Tomahawk missiles into Yemen to destroy three radar sites that Pentagon leaders believe played a role in the earlier attacks against the ships. More on these stories at townhall.com. The Nixon Presidential Library has reopened after a $15 million makeover. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton has details.
Hoping to bring the country's 37th president closer to younger generations, the Richard Nixon Presidential Library and Museum has added modern technology to many exhibits. The Southern California Museum has replaced lengthy written narratives with large photographs, interactive touchscreens, and video footage of Nixon's speeches. Officials hope to draw young people less familiar with Nixon's trip to China or the Watergate scandal that led to his resignation. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Brooklyn's top prosecutor, Ken Thompson, was remembered at his funeral Saturday as a champion of justice. The 50-year-old Thompson died last Sunday, just days after announcing he'd be undergoing treatment for cancer. Thompson became Brooklyn's first African-American district attorney back in 2014 after beating the longtime incumbent. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Broadcasting from the number one news network in North America, it's the show for the next generation of Americans. It's Kilmeade and Friends.
I'm a Catholic. I don't recognize that email that we saw. And this whole effort is led by the Russians.
What'd she say? The Russians did it? The Catholics did it? The Pope did it? Look, this is... This crowd has been any Catholic for a long time.
The Department of Justice, you remember that whole deal with Wild Bill getting on the back of an airplane, just happened to be in Arizona. He was going to play golf. It was 110 degrees. I think most of us know what happened. This corruption and collusion is just one more reason why I will ask my Attorney General to appoint a special prosecutor. There's never been a time like this in our country. And Congress, in all fairness, and I'm so disappointed in them. I am so disappointed in Congress. Wouldn't you think that Paul Ryan would call and say, good going?
You're talking about a blowout for the Democrats and the potential of Republicans losing the House, which is why it makes so little sense tactically for Donald Trump to be attacking Paul Ryan.
America's solutions are discussed here.
Everybody, Brian Kilmeade here. Hope you're having a great day, great afternoon. And I know it's hard to look at the one story that's dominating all dinner conversations and water cooler talk. It's hard to look away, but sometimes you wish you did. Between the Democrats and Republicans and running for president, it's dominating everything. Abby Huntsman's agreed to sit with me for two segments. The financial remuneration will remain private. That will not be made public unless I'm hacked. So let's get to the big three.
Ryan's Big Three.
All right, Donald Trump at war with Paul Ryan. Can you imagine a stupider thing to do if you are the Republican nominee than going to war with the Speaker? The Speaker has a reason to distance himself to a degree from Donald Trump, but he never disassociated himself with Donald Trump. He's trying to hold the House. I do not blame him. I also do not blame Donald Trump for being disappointed. I really wonder about his judgment, his political tactics in saying, calling out Paul Ryan for as almost as long as he called out Hillary Clinton yesterday. It just makes no sense.
Number two.
The cascade of accusers stepping forward against Donald Trump continues to grow for his inappropriate behavior, they allege. It all took place years ago. That is true. Why is the timing now? Is anyone sitting out there as a maybe electoral IED? Who else is left to come forward? Now we're back to the Howard Stern tapes. And now we're also wondering about what about the timing of the NBC story, the Access Hollywood story? How did the Washington Post get it? And why were there some people so determined to get it out before the second debate? As Donald Trump, at that time, prior to the release, was actually closing the gap yet again.
Number one.
An explosive story is coming out of the WikiLeaks hacks. You know, I'm kind of crossed on this in that I do not want a foreign entity deciding our elections. However, the authenticity of these emails is pretty strong. No one's really said they're not true. Some people claim without proof, but they are explosive, including an anti-Catholic bias, an anti-redneck bias, and a few other things that are determined to hurt Hillary Clinton. In any other climate, it could be devastating. But Abby Huntsman, Fox and Friends, Fox News, and everything else, this is anything but a typical climate.
I'm here to solve all the problems this morning, Brian. I don't know about you, because you've been through these elections longer than I have. But, I mean, to your point, I can't even go online this morning. I have a stomachache. And I know that I probably speak for so many people out there that are like, what is going on? This is it's sickening from both sides. I've heard from so many people that say, I'm just not voting this election. I can't leave my house. And you were talking about Speaker Paul Ryan and the impact this is going to have on so many local races and the importance of for Republicans keeping the House and keeping the Senate. If people don't show up to vote for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, what does that mean for these local races, right?
Well, if you show up and you're a Trump person and you're mad at Paul Ryan, you're not going to vote down ticket. If you show up and
right.
you don't like Donald Trump, you're not going to vote up ticket. It'll explode the Republican Party. Democrats love every second of it. Maybe they predicted it. I couldn't predict anybody having things fall this direction. But I talked to Ed Rollins over the weekend, and I said, Ed, after that tape came out, I just emailed him. I go, what would you do? He goes, you call up the party leaders, you immediately tell them how embarrassed you are and how you're going to fix it, and then you grovel. Mm. And you tell them, hold your place. I'm going to do great in this debate. You'll see. He did great in the debate,
I thought
he did very well. And instead, he called out everybody that turned on him on Monday. And that, I just saw Ed Rollins in the hall. He says, huge mistake. He runs a super PAC for Donald Trump.
I don't know who he's listening to at this point. You're right. Had that debate been the first debate and had this hot mic not come out, the polling right now, especially in these swing states, would look a lot different than they're looking right now. I think you make a great point about reaching out to the leaders of the party. You know, you have to wonder, had he reached out a little more during the primary and even when he became the nominee to leaders in the party like Speaker Ryan, like others, would they be more willing to stand by him even now, even with this hot mic and all this coming out? You know, the party, they're loyal to their people. And so had he, you know, reached out his hand and said, guys, we're in this together, would they at this point still be saying, Trump are behind you. I don't know.
So, Abby, you know, some of the things that they said back and forth on the WikiLeaks emails, basically putting down Catholics. So let me see. They call Latinos needy. They know 50% of Donald Trump supporters deplorable and unredeemable. And now we find out that they're really upset. They don't like Catholics being very condescending to them, saying that they think Catholicism is the most socially acceptable, politically conservative religion, according to about Rupert Murdoch baptizing his children Catholic. They said they think Catholicism is the most socially accepted, politically conservative religion out there. Their rich friends wouldn't understand if they became evangelicals. They talked about Catholic and their Catholicism and that religion being medieval. And calling for a Catholic spring. It's amazing. You solved all of America's problems, but now you're going to focus on the global Catholic Church. 28% of the country's Catholic. You know, the whole thing was, I remember when Mitt Romney was running, these Mormon, they're like, how do you convince non-Mormons that they're Christian and that they won't stay home? And then when he made the 47% comment that people are not going to vote Republican because they're basically getting paid by the government, that was devastating. When John McCain made those comments about really not being good at the economy and the economy crashes, he couldn't shake that.
It's all about timing, right?
This should be devastating, but it's being swamped by the bimbo eruptions.
It should be. Honestly, if nothing else were going on the right, if we weren't hearing from these women, if this hot mic moment never happened, this would be the focus right now. I think this would be a completely different race. Honestly, though, Brian, a lot of these emails, the stuff that's coming out of them, it's not totally surprising. I mean, we've kind of known that some of those statements had been made from folks in the Democratic Party. But this would no doubt be the focus. And I think it would be a turnoff to a lot of Americans. But no one's talking about this.
All right. The best call of this half hour is going to get Thomas Jefferson, the Tripoli Pirates, the forgotten war that changed American history. The paperback comes out on Tuesday, and I'll sign it and send it. I would tell you to call, but every line is jammed because Abby's here.
Oh, of course.
And in terms of the impact, Jennifer Palmieri was asked about this. You know, what's going on? Were you writing anti-Catholic things? Do you guys really feel that way? Cut 10.
I'm a Catholic. I don't recognize that email that we saw. And this whole effort is led by the Russians. The Russians, ones that orchestrated this hack. We believe, as noted by the statement from the Director of National Intelligence, that they're also behind the timing and manner of the leaks. And we are not going to do any more to comment or aid their efforts.
So blame it on the Russians. I don't know what you say when you're hacked. You could blame the people that hacked, or you could sit there and say, you know, I shouldn't have said it. Or Donald Trump is calling and some of his staffers calling for her to be fired.
Why is it so hard for either side at this point to just admit that they handled something wrong or maybe shouldn't have said something? Why are both sides struggling so much to do that? I think that's all the American people are wanting at this point, for them to just to come out publicly and say, you know what, I was wrong here. This sounds totally rude and disrespectful. This is not what I meant to say. They're not willing to do that.
So what's interesting, too, just on the Russian thing for a moment, because I think it's been underplayed because there's so many other sensational things in these leaks. Here's a quote from John Podesta talking to Hillary Clinton. This is actually from John Podesta's email. It said, this is Hillary Clinton saying, I would love it if we can continue to build a more positive relationship with Russia. This is 2013. In the same speech, Clinton said, obviously, we would be very much like to have a positive relationship with Russia, and we'd like to see Putin be less defensive towards a relationship with the United States so that we could work together on some issues. She also goes on to say that Putin is engaging and is very interesting conversationalist. And she went on to talk about that in other speeches as late as 2014. So when she comes out and says Donald Trump loves Russia and loves Putin, wait, you dealt with him. You tried to reset the relationship in 2009. You're still praising him in 2014 and looking for an opportunity to make their relationship better. So if a new guy comes in, and I'm not comfortable with a lot of the praise he gives to Putin, and it's backed off. Now he's just saying, I'd just like to start fresh.
Well, let's be real. They don't really know each other that well.
Yeah, I mean, but for the most part, Hillary Clinton's been neutralized on this. And I know Chris Wallace will do the research to say, wait a second, you're critical of him. But is it true you said this to Goldman Sachs? And that's what she's going to have an answer for that.
Yeah, and my sense he is going to ask some of those questions. My question to you, though, Brian, is at this point in the race, where you look at the polls and how it seems like it's every week it's a different race, right? Has the story already been written? Or can things still change between now and then? And if so, what needs to happen? What does Trump need to do? Not a lot of people are talking about the WikiLeaks. We are here. I think we know that whoever is our president needs to be vetted. We need to understand who we're electing as president. This is important stuff here. And a lot of the things in the emails are quite alarming. Problem is, not a lot of people are talking about it because it's not an easy headline. An easy headline right now are the women that are coming out talking about Donald Trump. That is very easy for anyone to put on their front page.
And look, fundamentally, throughout time, one thing is consistent. Sex is always the most salacious thing.
Yep.
It always sells. It always is first. So that's not a Democrat or Republican thing. I get it. However, if it was Trump hacked emails and Hillary sex stories, do you think it would be reverse?
It would probably be
a dead heat because you couldn't walk away from it. But
I have been surprised at how the mainstream media has covered this election because, you know, we all flip through the channels and see, you know, who's covering what. And even my parents called the other day and they said, you know, when did we have to go to Drudge and Breitbart? And that seemed to be our mainstream media because everywhere else you go,
everybody's
just anti-Trump.
Right.
You know, I'm not here defending him by any means or saying that, you know, he's with the women's situation. That's not a place I want to go. But I do think the American people deserve an honest discussion from both sides. And I don't know that they're getting that.
All right. Let's go to Indiana, where they're having some voter registration issues, corruption. Matt is there. He's listening online. Hey, Matt. Abby Huntsman's here. What's on your mind?
Hey, Abby. Hey, Brian. I listen to you every day.
Appreciate it.
I'm a PhD student at Purdue, and I'm a Trump supporter. And I'm a Catholic, so I definitely qualify in the basket, according to Hillary.
Are you a deplorable, Matt?
Deplorable, and you're going to stay in that basket.
You know, yeah, I'm going to stay in the basket, you know. I just can't find myself. I just can't bring myself to vote for Hillary, and there's no way that I see her leading our country out of the problems that we face right now.
And, Matt, what are your questions? What you told Pete the screener is the media bias. What are my thoughts on it?
I've been saying for a long time the media has been biased. You know, it's no secret to me. But what's really interesting is that I engaged some of my friends, you know, because I'm at a university and surrounded by liberals. And they just don't seem to get that there's any issue with the media. There's no bias at all. And I find that really surprising. So I was actually engaging with one of my friends last night, and he was saying that, you know, this is a common practice in presidential elections. And, of course, he took the liberal strategy of, you know, bashing my intelligence and saying if you knew anything about presidential elections.
As you're a PhD student at Purdue.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm not the only Trump supporter. You know, there's a secret force, and I really think there is a hidden vote here. You know, there is something to that. But staying on topic, is it true that this is a common practice in presidential elections for such a gross bias towards one candidate?
I've never seen it. Yeah, Abby, you've seen it up close.
Because when my dad ran 4 years ago, I will say that MSNBC loved my dad, and they loved covering him because at that time, my dad was considered more of a moderate voice, you know, because he was, you know, he spoke out about, you know, marriage equality and those things when it wasn't, you know, something that the Republican Party was really talking about much.
And he served in a Democratic administration.
And he served President Obama, and there were things that, you know, the left liked about him. But I haven't seen it like it's been this time around. I think the problem this time is you've got personal feelings, I think, among a lot of the folks that are doing news. I mean, we could talk about what's going on over at NBC, but I think there is a motivation that some people have that are running networks, that are running, you know, these papers, and they want to get him out. They want to make sure that he doesn't win, and that makes them do certain things.
Abby, some people might say, I just think he's unfit, okay? Other people might say, he banned me from coverage, like the Washington Post and the Huffington Post. When the Huffington Post says, we will put him in the entertainment section, we won't put him in the political section.
They never even tried.
Right. So then they go, okay, we're banning you.
Right.
So he kept going back, so it's personal. Then he called out people. He pointed to different media members in the audience and say, you're a disaster, and you're a joke and all these things. So it does get personal after a while, and he doesn't kowtow, so that makes it even worse.
But here's what's crazy, though.
Well, I'm going over. Go ahead. Finally.
Here's what's crazy, though. With the opposite of that, though, is Hillary Clinton not speaking at all to media. I think Kate McKinnon said it best on SNL when she said, if you guys never want to see me again, just elect me president. I'll go behind in that Oval Office, and I'll never come out again. Is that what they really want?
Calls next.
Giving you everything you need to know. You're with Kilmeade and Friends.
I'm a student.
I'm a professional.
I'm a woman.
And I shouldn't have to worry about walking alone, day or night.
I've heard it all.
Honey, give me a smile.
Harmless catcalls? I never know. I carry Tiger Lady. It's a revolutionary defense tool that's based on one of nature's most efficient defenses, a cat's retractable claws. It weighs less than my phone and is designed to collect DNA. Old-fashioned defense products are heavy, need batteries, or can backfire on me. Tiger Lady is discreet and fits in my hand. And when I make a fist, claws come out like a real-life Wolverine. It's easy to use, doesn't require training, and is legal in all 50 states.
Whether I'm out for a run or making my way around campus, I come prepared with my Tiger Lady.
3 million men and 19 million women have experienced at least one incident of sexual assault. Be aware and be prepared.
For a limited time, go to TigerLady.com and get the family four-pack at a savings of over 15% off. Use the offer code SAVINGS and save an additional 15% off. Find your fear. Set Tiger Lady.
We've all taken side jobs here and there to earn extra cash, but now making extra money is way easier thanks to Uber. Uber's the ultimate side hustle. Driving with Uber means you can earn extra cash whenever you want. It's not just another J-O-B. It's a totally flexible way to earn. You can turn it on, off, just like your car. Now, if you have a few spare hours here and there, drive with Uber. Have you ever wanted to be your own boss? I bet you'd be a great boss. Drive with Uber and you are your own boss. If you're driving right now, you should be earning right now. Every day is payday when you drive with Uber, because you can cash out any time with Instant Pay. With access to Instant Pay, cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required. Listen, if you enjoy earning extra cash, if there's something special you'd like to buy, your car can start making you money. So go ahead, get your side hustle on. Sign up to drive with Uber today. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. uber.com/drive now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
This is a Shasta Regional Medical Center Medical Minute.
Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Cross. If your knee is severely damaged by arthritis or injury, you may find it hard to perform simple activities like walking or climbing stairs. If non-surgical treatments like medication and walking supports are no longer helpful, surgery may be an option. Advanced technology like Navio Orthopedic Robotic Systems help perform partial knee replacement to achieve optimal results. The Orthopedic Robotics Surgery Program at Shasta Regional Medical Center is the first in the region, and we are excited to offer patients some of the most advanced technologies available in orthopedic care.
Shasta Regional Medical Center offers the Navio Robotic Assisted Surgical System for partial knee replacement. Robotic technology allows for accurate, precise, and consistent results so you can get back to the activities you love pain-free. For more information, visit ShastaRegional.com or call 888-969-7168. That's 888-969-7168.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Radio commercials have been in our popular culture since 1922, but the decades of the 50s and 60s provided iconic performers hawking all kinds of products, like Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis for Chesterfield.
Godfrey says it in Como too, Hope for Crosby, follow through, Lester and Al and Jerry and I, we all tell you the one to buy, it's Chesterfield.
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 Or the cow sills for milk.
So listen, start filling your
belly. We found a quick and easy way to keep you going through the day. So wake up to a milk in a moment. In a good way, one that's sure to bring you
Stay tuned to hear more Sound Memories on Fox News Talk.
Yeah, Utah, as Trace just said, reliably Republican, and we're talking about 70% Republican. Ronald Reagan used to get over 70% in Utah. So it's a shock. I always say this, Megan, I want to see confirmation. This is the first poll that shows it being effectively a three-way tie, and you always have questions, particularly when an independent does this well, though there are reasons. He is a Mormon, BYU grad, and clearly the Mormon population is not terribly keen on Donald Trump. And, of course, Mitt Romney, who has a lot of influence in Utah, is not either.
And, by the way, that is Larry Sabato analyzing the extraordinary poll that showed Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton tied at 25%, I think.
26%. Can you believe that in the state of Utah? You could argue one of the reddest states in the country.
Who's third with 22%? There's a third-party candidate with 22% of the vote in Utah.
Isn't it Evan McMullen?
Evan McMullen.
Yeah.
22%. This is unbelievable. That's how
he
much
might win the state of Utah.
How could that be? This is unbelievable, isn't it? Abby Huntsman's here.
So I'm from Utah.
Yeah.
So this all is so fast. I've been following this very closely. My dad was governor of Utah. I understand the politics, or I thought I did. And Donald Trump has struggled from the beginning to get people on his side in Utah.
He got killed in the primary.
As Sabato said, because, you know, Mitt Romney spoke out early on saying you cannot vote for this guy. In Utah, you have about 65% of the population that is Mormon. And so they're going to, one, listen to their leaders, but also they're going to be turned off by language that they feel is not, you know, within their, you know.
And it's bad.
And it's bad. And so when Donald Trump early on in the primaries was talking about immigration and talking about, you know, some of them being rapists and all that, Mormons, the history of the Mormon church, I mean, they went through persecution. They went through a lot. So I think they can in some ways see themselves in the immigrants that are coming over to this country. And I think that language for some of them was a big turnoff. And then you have this hot mic moment, because after that, after the primaries, I thought, okay, well, this will go back and Trump will do fine in Utah. It is what it is. Then the hot mic moment comes out, and you think, if you're Mormon and you're living in Utah, that doesn't sit well. You also have Gary Herbert, who's now the governor. The list goes on. Jason Chaffetz, Mitt Romney, they've all come out saying they're not going to support Donald
Trump. Right away. But does this help?
I love the Mormons.
Does that help at all?
Well, you look at the polling. I mean, clearly it's not helping much there. Maybe Evan McMullen's going to be president after all,
Brian. He's got to show up, apologize, and this is what you say. Judges.
Yeah.
How the country changes. You lose four Supreme Court judges serving over 30 years. Don't be foolish.
You should be running, Brian.
Possibly. Bye, Abby.
Thanks.
It's Kilmeade and Friends on Fox News Talk.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday 9 a.m. to noon.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Where does your food come from? Oregon artist Betty LaDuke's bright, colorful paintings explore and celebrate Oregon's agricultural bounty and the workers who plant, tend, and harvest it. And you can see her beautiful work at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Bountiful Harvest from Land to Table is open October 1st through January 8th at Turtle Bay. Bountiful Harvest is presented by Healthy Shasta. For park hours and more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Big Bike Weekend 2016. Thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, non-stop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bed on the main stage. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Redding, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
Hi, everybody. Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. It's football season, and Mighty Fine has great deals on our nearly 300 beers for whichever big game you're looking forward to this weekend. We've also got daily deli specials under $5, fried chicken that can't be beat, and these new sriracha chicken bites that you just have to try. Locally owned and operated at 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista, Mighty Fine has everything you need for game day. Big store selection, small store service, Mighty Fine.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The State of Israel came into existence in 1948. Although the United States was the first country to recognize Israel, they were under attack almost immediately. UN Representative Abba Eban speaks on Israel's nationhood.
It would seem to me that after 3,000 years, the time has arrived to accept Israel's nationhood as a fact. For here is the only state in the international community which has the same territory, speaks the same language, and upholds the same faith as it did 3,000 years ago. How grotesque would be an international community which found room for 127 sovereign units and which did not acknowledge the sovereignty of that people which had given nationhood its deepest significance and its most enduring grace.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Edie Sims from St. Louis, Missouri makes the Dean's List. Miss Sims has had many experiences in her 102 years of life, but getting arrested isn't one of them. That all changed a few weeks ago when she was placed in the back of a police car that drove her to a senior center where she delivered handmade gifts to residents.
Handcuffs and all.
Edie made more than 400 items for the residents at Five Star Senior Center in St. Louis over the past 2 years, but she's never delivered the gifts in person. So the senior center organized a trip in a police car to finally make that happen. She has some great advice for others.
Keep going. Don't ever stop. Whatever it is you're doing. And spend some time doing community service, because sometimes the people that you reach out and touch is the only person that they will talk to in a day.
Edie Sims, you are truly young at heart. You made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
If you're interested in it, Brian's talking about it. You're with Kilmeade and Friends.
Mr. President, this is the worst possible thing you could do right now.
Last time I checked, I am in control here.
Jody, I would abandon this idea of getting Reagan in a second. If I could only win your heart and live out the rest of my life with you, at least you know that I'll always love you.
Send him where you want, to whoever you want. But don't tell him that he's failing.
I can assassinate the president.
Lynn Sivers told reporters at the hospital that the president was not wounded.
He was wounded.
My God.
It is your job to protect him.
I walked into this hospital.
Wow. And, in there was acting. I get that. And it was actually an actual newscast
When Reagan, we did not know if Reagan was hit or not. We knew about the attempted assassination. And next thing you know, it turns out a bullet ricocheted off the door right into in between Reagan's ribs and took out a lung. And they searched and searched. And then you find out later he almost died. Why would I bring that up? Because Killing Reagan, the best-selling book from Bill O'Reilly, which was flat out fantastic, and I even lived it and I thought it was fantastic, is now a movie. And I saw it last night. It's on it'll be on the Nat Geo. It'll be on Nat Geo. It'll be on premiering tonight, Sunday, October 16th. That'll be at 8 o'clock. It is great. Joining me right now, if you're smart enough to be watching at home or watching on Facebook Live, Tim Matheson is here. He plays Ronald Reagan. And Cynthia Nixon plays Nancy Reagan. She does a great job. But Tim, man, great job on this movie.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brian.
Did you feel a special responsibility for doing this movie, being that Reagan, since his death, has been risen to an iconic figure?
Absolutely. I mean, it was you know, you have all those butterflies and the trepidations you have, and there's many traps to playing this thing, and you have to... I had to do my research, and I took vocal coaching to get the Reagan accent and place my voice where his was, but also just to honor the man. And so that was the main thing that I sort of studied, and what I wanted to get to is, who's the real man?
Right.
What was the real? You can't act politics, you know. So it was about him and Nancy, and it was a love story between Ronnie and Nancy.
So what you do is you take this period leading up to the election against Carter, where he trailed most of the time until the end, and then it ended up being a rout in his
landslide,
direction.
Right?
A landslide. And then you remember 1976. If you remember history, you guys don't really cover it, but you mention it, that when he almost got the nomination from Ford, and he ad-libbed this great speech back then.
Yeah.
And then we pick up the fact that you guys win the White House, you get into the White House, and then as you try to get your economic package passed and try to get an end to the Cold War, you're not getting anywhere. You're not popular. The country's kind of turning. Tip O'Neill's making you feel like making Reagan look to be a lunatic, somebody who is not ready for the job. And then on the other side, you work in the Hinckley angle. Did you know the Hinckley angle was working, or were you just doing your scenes? Were you very familiar with the fact that they were building up the assassin along with the president?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, it's one of the, I think, the intriguing aspects of Bill O'Reilly's books, and is that it's both stories, and they're separate stories of this love affair and this election and this presidency of Ronald Reagan and his wife Nancy, and the story of John Hinckley and his disabilities and his mental illness and his compulsions and wanting to injure first Jimmy Carter and then he goes after Reagan. But we never, the actor Kyle Moore who plays Hinckley, we never saw him. He was never around the set.
Wow.
He was not allowed on our set. We were not ever placed near him. We never met him. And so our story was all we thought about and all we worked on. And I was referred to as Mr. President the second I walked out of makeup and hair. So Rod Lurie, our director, just was compulsive and constantly making sure everything was as close to real as possible for us. And, it just makes acting easier, so you're not caught acting. And pretty soon, you really, on some part of you, start believing it, you know. And it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. I just don't have that gene, because the whole time I'd be thinking about what people were thinking of me. You're able to channel that out, right? And you're able to forget about it. You become Ronald Reagan on the set.
You know, absolutely. It's sort of like, you imagine in baseball, a guy gets up to the plate, when a batter gets up to the plate, you just
think about the ball.
You think about the ball. Yeah, and the fans go away, the crowd goes away, the pitcher. All you're looking at is that ball. Is it going to be here? Is it going to be there? And so that's the kind of focus and concentration an actor typically uses. And all those feelings you're talking about. Oh, geez, if I have to get the voice right, I have to do this right. Here's my light over here. You know, and what are the lines and all that. But you have that all has to become second nature. To do a good job.
And you did. Here's another scene. Of course, you start picking up in the polls when Jim Baker stands up. And Nancy Cookley realizes that Jim Baker, who was just an integral part of the Bush administration and Reagan administration, says she realizes that he gets you. Even though he's from, Gerald Ford, he competed against Ronald Reagan with Gerald Ford.
He kicked our butts, right?
But he liked it, and she pushes him forward because he's got the right vision. He ends up being just invaluable for our country. And now you start getting on a roll. But the key is accepting the debate. Ronald Reagan doesn't have the depth of issues some thought that Jimmy Carter, who's lived it for 4 years. And here's the moment before you go on stage with Nancy. Cut 36.
Ronald. Hi. Should I leave you be?
No, I'm so happy you're here, Mommy.
Standing room only out there.
Well, everything hinges on this debate, but, you know, politics is just like show business. Mm-hmm. You give them a hell of an opening. It coasts for a little while, then you give them a big finale.
And hopefully run for 8 years.
Yes.
I'm going to go get to my seat.
I think you are more nervous than I am.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Break a leg.
They're ready for the podium, sir. Good luck.
And he would. He'd go out there and he'd perform. Did you watch that debate?
Oh, gosh, yes. I had it on tape and I could listen to it on my phone while I was, you know.
I don't remember. How was it?
It was awesome. I mean, he was so, Reagan was so comfortable in front of a camera and in front of an audience. And from all his years on, you know, as governor, but prior to that, when he did the General Electric Television Theater, he would go tour the country and speak to all the GE employees, and that was part of his job. And that's what piqued his interest in politics, was that he heard similar things and he started talking to people about what they wanted and what they didn't, you know, what they didn't like about our country and what they thought the country needed. And it sort of, it aligned with his feelings about it. And he just found a higher purpose. And I think what I came away with from him, and our politics didn't align at that time, but I came away with a greater respect and understanding of a man who felt he had something to offer and to give and a vision for our country that he thought, and I think decidedly it did need at that time.
Bill O'Reilly got some blowback from the Reagan people who said, oh, wait a second, you made Reagan seem like he was in and out after he got shot. And they pushed back and said it wasn't the case. Others said it was the case. And Bill O'Reilly thought tooth and nail on that. When I heard you guys were doing the movie, I thought, how are they going to handle that? And I thought you handled it great.
Oh,
I don't
want
to give away the movie, but essentially, there's a conversation between the doctor and Nancy. And in it says, listen, he's O positive. We got him we got him blood right away. We weren't even sure of his blood type. And a lot of it was cold. And sometimes it affects someone and changes them. And that's the last conversation you have. And you even have some pushback with Mike Deaver, says, I don't see any difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, there's a difference. How did you handle that? What did you, when you looked at the tapes and did the studying, read the books, what do you think?
I didn't, you know, he was 70 when he took office. And so, and 78 when he left office. And I looked at all the speeches and all his press conferences. I think towards the end, he lost a step, you know, but he was a great performer. So when the camera was on, he was always
there. He could turn it on.
Yeah, he could really turn it on. But I think you're 70 years old and you get shot. I think that's gonna slow you down a bit. And he had cancer. I mean, he went through numerous, you know, huge medical situations. But I felt that I did not think that the Alzheimer's really started getting a grip on him till maybe the end of it or after he left office. I mean, and then we closed the picture with him writing the Alzheimer's letter to the American people. And it's so poignant and touching. And he wrote that letter, you know, and that he wanted to share that with the American people was very moving.
It was unbelievable. So what you're saying is, and I got from Cynthia playing Nancy Reagan, even if you don't agree with anything about Ronald Reagan, the sincerity was real.
Yeah, oh, yes.
And what he said, and he loved the country.
Yes.
So that comes across for the most part. Do you remember Tim Matheson, the civilian, where you were in 81 when the election happened and when he was shot?
Absolutely. I was here in New York. I was working on shooting a movie here that Bruce Paltrow, Gwyneth Paltrow's dad, was directing. And we got word on the set. We were shooting right on the Hudson River outside. And it hit all of us. I mean, whether you agreed with politically or not, he was a dear, dear man, you know. And it was like your grandfather, somebody attacking a member of your family, your grandfather. And he was so personable and loving that it was just, it was a double blow. And we were also relieved the next day when we heard that he was probably going to be fine, and you know, they'd gone through surgery, and it made us just love him that much more, I think.
You saw the loyalty amongst his staff. You also saw that with Ronald Reagan, you read about this too, he could be strong, he could be tough.
Yeah.
He knew where to draw the line. When we come back, you'll hear a scene in which Ronald Reagan draws the line with his then Secretary of State, Alexander Haig, who was a pretty tough guy himself.
Yeah.
Tim Matheson's here. The book is called Killing Reagan. The movie's called Killing Reagan. It is excellent. Tim does a great job. He co-stars in it. It's on Nat Geo. It's, again, October 16th. It'll be at 8 o'clock, and then you'll have a chance to see it. So more with Tim in just a moment as we look back about Reagan, his legacy. And actually, I got to get your take, Tim, on what you thought of the debates last week as compared to the ones you studied at Reagan-Carter. I sense there's going to be a little bit of a difference. Back in a moment.
Because life is more than just politics. It's Kilmeade and Friends. The Morgan Silver Dollar, minted from 1878 through 1904 and again in 1921. 90% pure silver. Many agree it's the most beautiful silver coin ever struck. CNS Rare Coins has a huge reserve of these brilliant, uncirculated historical coins and is about to release them to the public for a limited time. Produced at mints located in Philadelphia, New Orleans, Carson City, and San Francisco, this is your chance to obtain a piece of American history. With the price of silver on the rise, shouldn't precious silver be a part of your portfolio? It's the perfect hedge against inflation at below market prices. CNS is proud to release these Morgan Silver Dollars at only $39.95 per coin. So call toll-free 866-55-COINS. There's a 10-coin limit. Call 866-552-6467. And for the first 100 callers, shipping is free. So call now, 866-55-COINS.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available.
Xarelto users, if you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-961-5842. That's 800-961-5842.
In depth, insightful, intelligent. Get it all. Tune in 10 a.m. Eastern to Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo on Fox News Channel. Every Sunday, Maria sitting down with the biggest players in Washington and Wall Street, asking the tough questions and bringing a new perspective on the nation's most pressing issues. Every Sunday, tune in 10 a.m. Eastern to Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo on Fox News Channel. Don't miss it.
This is Pastor Terry Oxley of True Life Church in Bella Vista. We are living in a society where a handful of political leaders whose minds have been corrupted and depraved are making laws and life-altering decisions that affect all of us, especially our children. These insane, foolish laws are being forced on us regardless of our beliefs. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ and a commitment to live by God's Word will protect you from this moral decay. What are you doing to protect those you love from this insanity? If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible without compromise, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit us at our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
It's Two Nights in Paris at Armando's Art Gallery on Butte Street in downtown Reading, October 14th and 15th. Get your tickets now with limited seating. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Just imagine Armando transforming his art gallery into a Parisian nightclub. And it's finally here, my brand new 12-song CD, Till There Was You. Join us as we perform songs from our new CD, featuring Bruce Kalin on bass and Bernie Baker on guitar, with special guest Pat Karch on accordion and Lou White on flute. Ticket prices are $35 per person, which includes one appetizer. Call 768-1242 for your tickets today. Who wouldn't want Two Nights in Paris? That's Armando's Art Gallery, October 14th and 15th.
Talk.
Mr. President, this is the worst possible thing you could do right now. The grain embargo. That's our only bargaining chip, and you're just giving it away.
Well, I don't see it that way.
You know the Russians will view this as weak. Worse than Carter. And make no mistake, they will take advantage.
We'll just have to take that chance, won't we?
Well, what about your supporters? They didn't elect you to capitulate.
That is enough, Al. That is enough.
It's your conservative base.
Shut up! Now, why in the hell can't I open the doors to bargain with Brezhnev? When I was in Sacramento, I had a lot of people giving me advice, and they wanted it all or nothing, and they wanted it all at once. Well, I learned a long time ago negotiating union contracts that you seldom get everything you want. And that's what I told these radical Republicans, and that's what I'm telling you now, Al. Why would I risk losing everything if I can get 75% of what I want? The last time I checked, I am in control here.
And that is an argument Ronald Reagan had. Tim Matheson portrayed him brilliantly. I almost thought I was listening to the actual Ronald Reagan with Alexander Haig, who was a very forceful, cocky guy. You know, he knew what he wanted. Typical general. He used to get everything he wanted. And you guys made that clear through the movie. Tim, your approach to this, what you're referring to, is Ronald Reagan ending the curb on exports of grain to the Soviet Union,
right,
which Carter put in place to punish them for invading Afghanistan.
Right, right.
So you basically took him on that. Said, listen, I know it might look weak, but in the big picture, I'm moving towards something here. And, of course, he would lose. Brezhnev would die. Andropov would die. I think Chernenkov or Sharapov.
Yes.
Two of these guys would die. And then up comes Gorbachev.
Yeah.
So anger. A lot of people say, well, Reagan never got that angry. Where did you find that he got angry?
You know, this was one of the few times that – and it was after he was shot. And it was because he wanted to make a – it was a personal letter that he was writing to Brezhnev. And he just wanted to – reach out to him man to man and say, I want to get rid of nuclear weapons. I want peace. And after he survived the assassination, he felt that he had been given this life for a purpose, and it was, he redoubled his efforts for nuclear peace.
Tim, the debate you were talking about that you studied was Reagan against Carter, right? 1980,
yes,
and he wins. Here's a little of that actual debate, probably the most famous line to emerge from that debate.
Governor Reagan, as a matter of fact, began his political career campaigning around this nation against Medicare. Now we have an opportunity to move toward national health insurance, an emphasis on hospital cost containment to hold down the cost of hospital care for those who are ill. These are the kind of elements of a national health insurance important to the American people. Governor Reagan, again, typically is against such a proposal.
Governor, there you go again.
And the crowd emerges. When you listen to these two spar, how is it different from seeing Hillary and Trump?
Well, these people were both very, you know, they were political forces, Reagan and certainly, and they were very schooled in international issues and diplomacy you know, I think today one of our candidates is and one isn't, you know, and one is all sort of his personal imprimatur, you know, the thing about Reagan is that he was so comfortable in front of an audience, and he did believe in a higher purpose. He did believe that he had a vision for this country and he wanted to share it with the people, and if he could just talk to the people, get in front of a camera with Carter and just look the camera in the eye and tell them what he wanted to do. And that's why it was so wonderful, that moment where he said, there you go again. It just humanized everything. So it wasn't this, you know, throwing facts and figures at each other. Here was this man and just said, oh, stop, you know, come on. Let's
right.
just, you know, I just want to do this.
And you know, is it the base of this? If you believed that candidate was going to take away Medicare, every senior in the country was not going to vote for you. So he's trying to say, yeah, I said this should be reformed. It shouldn't be thrown out.
Yes.
So Carter knew that, and he knew that.
Yes.
Let's hear the anger again in real life. Ronald Reagan at a forum debate, I believe. Here he is.
Oh, and he takes the microphone.
Yes.
I paid for that microphone.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Would the sound man please turn Mr. Reagan's mic off for a moment?
Could you turn that microphone off, please?
Ryan paid for this microphone.
What was that scene? That was not in the movie.
No, he had paid for a debate with George Bush himself and John Anderson, I think, was the third party candidate.
Yeah.
And he had set it up and with a local TV station, and the TV station was a Bush supporter, and so they didn't want Anderson to be there, something like that. There was some disagreement about how that thing was to proceed, and he said it's going to be this way because I paid for this microphone, and he was not shy about it, about taking command when he needed to.
And Tim, finally, and I'm not going to give away the whole movie, I will say this, I thought Reagan was a special president, but I remember how ridiculed he was until he died. When he died, that's when I saw the outpouring. Don't you think everything changed, especially you being in Los Angeles so much of your life?
Yeah.
Didn't the thing change when we saw the funeral and saw how people responded?
Oh, I think so. And you didn't – I think it's the time, you know, has built him up into what he really was. And, you know, and we get far enough away from that – the political divisions that, you know, that people have. And he was a wonderful president and the tonic this country needed.
Killing Reagan is on Nat Geo October 16th at 8 o'clock. Tim Matheson, congratulations.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
It all comes down to this. The final contest.
A lot of people are worried that maybe they wouldn't have a place in Donald Trump's America.
The final chance to win your vote.
We have a divided nation because people like her, and believe me, she has tremendous hate in her heart.
And one of the most trusted, experienced names in news moderates the candidates before America decides. Watch the final presidential debate with moderator Chris Wallace, October 19th on Fox News Channel, America's election headquarters.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-961-5842. That's 800-961-5842.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
19.
Big Bike Weekend 2016. Thunders into the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center beginning October 14th. Sign up to participate now at BigBikeWeekend.com and check the schedule of events. The Remembrance Ride over Shasta Dam, followed by a barbecue dinner and street dance at the Rodeo Grounds. The Big Bike Poker Run and your chance to win $10,000. Big Bike Games, the Big Bike Show, live music, raffles and prizes, vendors, non-stop entertainment featuring DJ Bob Bett on the main stage. Take part or be a part of Northern California's biggest gathering of bikes from all over the West Coast. Big Bike Weekend 2016 is family-friendly and free to attend. Cooler weather and the coolest bikes come together again at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center in Redding, Friday, October 14th through Sunday the 16th. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, and Riggs Media Consulting. For registration or for a schedule of events, go to BigBikeWeekend.com.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Thousands are without power in northwest Oregon, southwestern Washington, as a storm bearing remnants of a Pacific typhoon with winds gusting above 50 miles an hour knocked over trees and down power lines.
It will not be an all-night type event. It'll hit pretty hard, be windy for a few hours, and then you'll see things kind of start to calm down fairly quickly.
National Weather Service forecaster Danny Mercer says the winds will dissipate later tonight. Donald Trump says the Hindu and Indian community in the U.S. will have a friend in the White House if he's elected president next month.
I am a big fan of Hindu, and I am a big fan of India. Big, big fan.
Trump spoke at a Republican Hindu coalition in Edison, New Jersey on Saturday. Two Americans were released as part of a complicated diplomatic arrangement that included airlifts for Yemenis who were wounded this week.
this seems to have sprung from an airstrike that was carried out by a Saudi-led coalition, which has been battling the Yemeni rebels for nearly 2 years now. The strike that happened last weekend hit a packed funeral hall, and it killed over 140 people and wounded 600 more. This seems to have galvanized diplomatic efforts to resolve some longstanding issues between the Houthis and the Saudi-led coalition.
Joseph Kraus, reporting from Cairo, says the names of the Americans were not released. Four people died Saturday afternoon when a pickup truck plunged off the San Diego Coronado Bridge and plowed into a crowd of people gathered at a park below. At least eight others were injured at the motorcycle festival in Chicano Park in San Diego. In baseball, Miguel Montero snapped an eighth-inning tie with a third pinch-hit grand slam in postseason history, and the Cubs went on to beat the Dodgers 8-4 to take a 2-0 lead in their NL Championship Series. And for an exciting game in the second inning, Javier Baez stole home. Earlier in the day, Cleveland beat Toronto 2-1. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Todd Avakian
and Andrew Del Rey with Sierra Pacific Mortgage,
and we can help you save some serious money.
Rates are at an all-time low, but with all the uncertainty in the market, no one knows how long this will last.
If you have a rate of at least 4% on a current loan, you need to call us.
If you're a first-time home buyer or have children that are potential first-time home buyers, give us a call.
With rates this low, we could get you into a house close to the same amount of your current rent.
At Sierra Pacific, Todd and I handle your entire process from start to finish in-house.
Refinance your home into a 15 or 20-year mortgage, or consolidate your debt and get rid of it forever.
Let us help you. Call me, Andrew Del Rey,
or me, Todd Avakian, at 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172.
Don't get left behind. Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172.
Sierra Pacific Mortgage Company, NMLS ID 1788. Todd Avakian, NMLS ID 253453. Andrew Del Rey, NMLS ID 294990. Equal housing lender.
In his weekly address, President Obama criticized those who, as he put it, chose to stick their heads in the sand about basic scientific facts.
It's not just that they're saying that climate change is a hoax or trotting out a snowball on the Senate floor. It's that they're also doing everything they can to gut funding for research and development.
North Dakota Republican Representative Kevin Cramer says in his party's weekly address that people in his state want government to, quote, get out of the way and put our nation on a better path.
As I travel around our state, I hear from people frustrated with how needless regulations out of Washington are making things tougher for their farms, their ranches, and their small businesses. People feel the system is working against them, no matter how hard they work, no matter how much they plan.
It was 25 years ago on Saturday, October 15th, that Clarence Thomas was confirmed by the Senate to fill the seat of Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, who announced his plans to retire. Townhall.com. A judge has ordered North Carolina election officials to extend the deadline to register and to vote in 36 eastern counties of the state because of disruptions caused by Hurricane Matthew.
The order came in response to a lawsuit filed by the North Carolina Democratic Party. The party sued the State Board of Elections in county court Friday, which is the current deadline for voter registration. The party's attorneys had argued that people should have until Wednesday to turn in their forms in person at county elections and other government offices. Early voting begins Thursday. Patrick Frost reporting.
A painting from Claude Monet's acclaimed Grain Stack series is headed to auction next month, and Christie's says it could fetch as much as $45 million. Prior to the New York sale, Grain Stack will be previewed at Christie's galleries in Hong Kong and in London. The auction record for Monet? $80.4 million set in 2008. News and analysis at townhall.com.
This is Pastor Terry Oxley of True Life Church in Bella Vista. We are living in a society where a handful of political leaders whose minds have been corrupted and depraved are making laws and life-altering decisions that affect all of us, especially our children. These insane, foolish laws are being forced on us regardless of our beliefs. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ and a commitment to live by God's Word will protect you from this moral decay. What are you doing to protect those you love from this insanity? If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible without compromise, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit us at our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Broadcasting from the number one news network in North America, it's the show for the next generation of Americans. It's Kilmeade and Friends.
I'm a Catholic. I don't recognize that email that we saw. And this whole effort is led by the Russians.
What'd she say? The Russians did it? The Catholics did it? The Pope did it? Look, this crowd has been any Catholic for a long time.
The Department of Justice, you remember that whole deal with Wild Bill getting on the back of an airplane, just happened to be in Arizona. He was going to play golf. It was 110 degrees. I think most of us know what happened. This corruption and collusion is just one more reason why I will ask my Attorney General to appoint a special prosecutor. There's never been a time like this in our country. And Congress, in all fairness, and I'm so disappointed in them. I am so disappointed in Congress. Wouldn't you think that Paul Ryan would call and say, good going?
You're talking about a blowout for the Democrats and the potential of Republicans losing the House, which is why it makes so little sense tactically for Donald Trump to be attacking Paul Ryan.
America's solutions are discussed here.
Hi, everybody. Brian Kilmeade here. Hope you're having a great day. Man, this is getting intense. And every day gets more intense, but maybe today the most intense possible, as WikiLeaks is putting out thousands of pages of confidential emails from John Podesta and others that they are trying to deny but barely can deny because they know they're authentic. They want to blame the Russians for the actual hack. And then you have Donald Trump with more females coming forward with allegations and him with a counter lawsuit. Within an hour, Donald Trump will have a press conference. We'll cover it. And I'm sure it'll be something we've never seen before, but in a Trumpian type way. We have Dan Henniger to my immediate left, and we're going to be joined by James Rosen in shortly. But let's get to the big three.
Ryan's big three.
Trump's war with Paul Ryan. Is there anything that is a greater waste of time or a stupider move for Donald Trump to make than to draw a civil war with his own party when you only have a finite amount of time to make Hillary Clinton seem unelectable? You're focusing on Paul Ryan. It sounds personal. There's not one professional political operative that would say that is the best use of his time. What is he thinking?
Number two.
The Trump cascade of accusers stepping forward to talk about inappropriate behavior continues to mount. All took place years ago. Trump will take some action, but for the most part, the best move for him would be to minimize, not talk much about, and move forward because so much time has lapsed. Whatever they can spin their way out of it, but instead, I sense with a counter lawsuit, he will continue to do that. However, in the big picture, Donald Trump does have a lot to go for. A lot of international things are coming his direction that would back up his policies, especially as it comes to the refugees and as it comes to the threat overseas. Let's see if he picks up on that.
Number one.
And the WikiLeaks. Things are exposing some biases for the Clintonites. Yep, they don't like deplorables, which are 50% of the Trump audience. They said the Latinos are very needy. And now we find they also don't like rednecks because that makes up a lot of Donald Trump's audience. And now we find out that Catholics are a major problem. This would destroy any other candidate with who's within a month of having an election day. But as Dan Henniger will try to make sense of, it won't destroy this one. Dan, you laugh because you can't cry on radio.
Yeah, so the old blues song said, you got to laugh to keep from crying. And that's what we're all doing right now. I think we should extend our condolences to the American electorate because they are living with this chaos. It occurred to me, though, Brian, that just hard to predict where this election is going. But consider what I've always thought to be the most powerful metric or piece of polling data out there, and that's on the direction of the country. For a long time, 65 to 70% of the American people think the country's been going in the wrong direction. You can define wrong direction in a lot of ways. But I'm beginning to wonder whether this chaotic election, and that includes Donald Trump, may not hurt Trump in the sense that people, voters, may begin to think that Trump is now part of the wrong direction. This campaign is part of the wrong direction. I keep running into one person after another who says, I can't take it anymore. I'm tuning out. I'm walking away. And the question would be then, who is that going to hurt more, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton? And here you've got Trump holding a press conference at noon where he's going to have to respond to these extraordinary allegations by women who said, or at least one woman who said he groped her 30 years ago sitting on a plane. It's just, I think, getting to the point where it's beating down the electorate.
Beating down, and after Friday's tape, everything pales in comparison, I imagine. Maybe I'm speaking too soon.
Yeah.
But Friday's tape is so damning and so revealing that I feel as though if there was any damage done, he worked. He did the best thing possible. Went out and had a pretty strong debate on Sunday. Extremely confident, shows he can go in the clutch, never raised his voice, seemed somewhat very much in control. And I think he has a shot at doing very well in the third debate. I think Chris Wallace will give him a chance to either hang himself or show himself in a positive way. That would be enough. If he can get to the third debate within striking distance, I want to see some substantive polls, which is coming out tonight at 6, a Fox poll, after the debate, where people have a chance to digest it.
Yeah, it's going to make a big difference. But, you know, after that Friday, after last weekend, we had Trump's basically break with the Republican Party. And now he's attacking Paul Ryan. And
but he still has the RNC.
He still has the RNC, but I think he's effectively broken with the Republican Party. And as I wrote in my column today, I think Donald Trump is right where he wants to be, which is running for president alone. He's a superstar. He wants the freedom not to have to be shackled, as he put it, to the pedestrian concerns of the Republican Party. The Republican Party and its candidates can now go off and run their own Senate and congressional campaigns. And if I were Trump, I'd stop talking about Paul Ryan and the Republicans and just go out there and do what he wants to do. Run the kind of campaign he's always wanted to run, and indeed it has always been about Donald Trump. Let's see if it works.
Well, what about this? Let's look at the WikiLeaks for a second. Yeah. I'm also somewhat conflicted. You're the ultimate journalist as well, worked for one of the finest newspapers in the world, Wall Street Journal. I don't love the fact that an outside organization is hacking into an American political party, operatives in an American political party, and exposing the inner workings. Do I think it's newsworthy? Yeah. Do I like the fact that they're playing such a role and they have an agenda? Like, I don't, you know, if they were putting out the Trump stuff, not that Trump can take on any more bad news, but they're only putting out the Democratic stuff. Can you look past how it got there and look what's in it without any problem?
I can look at it. I guess I can deal with it. We don't have much alternative. It's out there in quote-unquote public.
If you were teaching a journalism class, in theory, if this was a theory rather than reality, what would you say?
Well, it's a tough question, Brian. It is so new, all of this hacking. I mean, they will put it on the web. The web is publicly accessible. Anybody can go look at it. It's hard for me to see where reputable news organizations can simply say, we won't report it because it was hacked, when it's now public information. But the idea that technology can dig into the most private thoughts of individuals is completely disturbing. And I think the Obama administration, if I can take this kind of to a higher level, the Russian hack, or maybe it was the Chinese hack of the Office of Personnel Management, 21.5 million deeply personal, deeply classified records. And the question is, what is the U.S. government doing to protect us from these hacks? We cannot go on this way, where the Russians and Chinese are simply grabbing everybody's personal correspondence.
Dan, I have to tell you, I don't look for the government to protect me or the Wall Street Journal or Fox News from these hacks. I don't think Sony should be protected by the government. I think we could use them as an advisor, but I think it's up to us to take a portion of our budget towards the best cybersecurity possible. I mean, I just don't see how the government can't get in many ways, even if they have the best intentions. I don't really feel as though if the government's handling the viruses that could be hitting my computer, that I'm going to be okay. I think the best minds are in the private sector anyway, sadly. But listen, let's go focus on one thing in the WikiLeaks thing. the Catholic Spring. That's what it's called for in these WikiLeaks. They say the Catholics themselves should demand the end of a Middle Ages dictatorship and the beginning of a little democracy and get respect for gender equality. And it goes on and on and on. This is a denunciation of Catholics by operatives inside the Hillary Clinton camp that might be running the country. What is the damage? 30% of the country, or 28% is Catholics. What's the damage?
Well, I think for at least half of that Catholic electorate, I mean, the idea that the Catholics are all conservative is, Brian, is completely laughable. A fair Catholics are no longer conservative. They're very liberal. But the content of these WikiLeaks attacking Catholicism and Catholics is, to me, almost laughable. That one quote about them not being in favor of gender equality. They also accuse the Catholics of, quote-unquote, being attached to systematic thought. He actually said that, systematic thought. Imagine. Well, that's something I would never accuse the American left of, systematic thought. I mean, if that's what Catholics do, more power to them. But to call out an entire religion like that, one of the oldest religions in the United States, and to mock them, I think simply reflects the kind of secular, aggressively secular attitudes of democratic liberals. They do not like people who adhere to any religion, whether they're evangelical Christians or Catholics.
Proof of that, Jennifer Palmieri confronted with this, cut 10.
I'm a Catholic. I don't recognize that email that we saw. And this whole effort is led by the Russians. The Russians, ones that orchestrated this hack. We believe, as noted by the statement from the Director of National Intelligence, that they're also behind the timing and manner of the leaks. And we are not going to do any more to comment or aid their efforts.
Let me give you an example of something here, Brian, that everyone's quite familiar with. Back during the litigation over Obamacare, the lawsuit involving the Little Sisters of the Poor, one of the most extraordinary groups of religious women in America. The work they do is completely good. They wanted to opt out of the mandates under Obamacare that would require them to provide contraceptive services. The Obama administration, the Justice Department, came down on them with a ton of bricks, trying to force them to comply with actions that would contradict their faith. That tells you about as much as you needed to know about the mindset of secular Democrats. And this stuff is just more of that.
When you see Jonathan Harwood of CNBC say, I'm sure President Obama would be happy I asked that question about Donald Trump at the debate that said he was a cartoon candidate. Are you running a cartoon campaign? And you see this interaction with CBS. Evidently, they called CBS to make sure certain questions in code to Secretary of State Kerry. The word back in the WikiLeaks email was, we took care of that. And we see that there was some collaboration between the DNC and Hillary when she was in the town hall. When the DNC, when she was in the town hall against Bernie Sanders, she got questions ahead of time, thanks to Donna Brazile.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this level of collusion with these media organizations and one party?
I think it's always been there to some extent, but not to this level. It's made so much easier now because of email. Everybody doesn't seem to be able to resist unloading whatever they're thinking at any given moment, and that includes reporters attached to these campaigns. I'll tell you, Brian, I think the media, the mainstream media, is really getting itself out on the thin ice in this election, that there is conceivably going to be a significant backlash, greater than the ones we've seen in recent years, against this sort of thing. And some of these organizations, I think, are going to have real problems sustaining their credibility at any level after this election.
You're just a facts guy. Just a facts guy. But I'm going to call into your knowledge of just being around the block a few times. These women are coming forward now. The NBC tape comes across now at the most devastating time possible. Is it a coincidence?
I think you could have predicted. Some of us said it was likely that in the last month of the election, Donald Trump, being Donald Trump, was going to get hit with a lot of opposition research. And that's what this is, the famous Oppo research, the negative stuff. And whether it's coming from the Russians or whether it's coming from Hillary's famous opposition research operation, who knows? But it was inevitable. It was all going to come out. And the Trump campaign had to be prepared. They had to know some of these things were going to start coming. And we'll see in this press conference at noon and in that debate Wednesday night whether he's got the chops to deal with it. Welcome to the arena.
As much as you've seen, you've never seen anything like this.
That's
Dan Hanniger,
sure.
Of the Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much, Dan. We'll continue to read everything you write.
Thanks, Brian. Great
back
to be
in
with
a moment
you.
With your calls.
Brian Kilmeade, TV host, radio host, entertainment power player, and desperately in need of an ego boost.
You're an oasis of wisdom in a desert of ignorance.
Kilmeade and Friends.
We've all taken side jobs here and there to earn extra cash, but now making extra money is way easier thanks to Uber. Uber's the ultimate side hustle. Driving with Uber means you can earn extra cash whenever you want. It's not just another job. It's a totally flexible way to earn. You can turn it on, off, just like your car. Now, if you have a few spare hours here and there, drive with Uber. Have you ever wanted to be your own boss? I bet you'd be a great boss. Drive with Uber and you are your own boss. If you're driving right now, you should be earning right now. Every day is payday when you drive with Uber, because you can cash out any time with Instant Pay. With access to Instant Pay, cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required. Listen, if you enjoy earning extra cash, if there's something special you'd like to buy, your car can start making you money. So go ahead, get your side hustle on. Sign up to drive with Uber today. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. uber.com/drive now. Hi, everybody. This is Brian Kilmeade from the Kilmeade and Friends radio show. If you could be more heart healthy just by drinking a glass of earthy vegetable juice daily, would you do it? Probably not. But what if this performance-enhancing veggie was transformed into a great-tasting circulation superfood drink? Yep, it's called Super Beets, and I can help you try it risk-free. Super Beets is loaded with vegetable dietary nitrates that boost nitric oxide levels in your body. This equals an increase in energy and stamina without stimulants. That's what you need to know. Dietary nitrates are incredible for supporting healthy blood pressure as well. You know, I drink Super Beets in the morning for energy, at the gym for extra long workouts, or in the afternoon as a pick-me-up without the jittery side effects. Plus, Super Beets now comes in black cherry flavor. So if the taste was holding you back before, then now is the time to try it. Get a 30-day supply for free with your very first order. For free. Plus, get the book Beat the Odds. Free, and a free shipping is thrown in as well. Call 1-800-541-2516. That's 1-800-541-2516. Or log on to briansbeats.com. That's briansbeats.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, maybe able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
Talk. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Gore Vidal is best known as an American novelist and known as one of the most prominent liberal public intellectuals of the 20th century. Here is Vidal in the early 60s on the political state of art in the U.S.
You're born into a society and you are shaped by it, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. Each of us is born into a prison of received opinion, of superstition, and of prejudices. Now, one of the functions of art is to try and define the prison. A, the artist must know he's in it, and many of them don't, and those are the bad artists. They just take it for granted. This is the way things are. They don't know that there are worlds. As Shakespeare said, there is a world elsewhere. They don't see anything past these bars. The prison is going to break you eventually, but you can at least get a look out. And it's the look out that is art.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Everyone, I'm Brian Kilmeade. I hope you're having a great day. I'll tell you what, it's an intense day. We know in a short amount of time there'll be a press conference conducted by Donald Trump, and I can just promise you there'll be things happening there that not even he knows or would have projected or predicted. With me in studio, a rare treat, because he wanted to see me in person, James Rosen. He's a chief Washington correspondent, which means he's in charge. He's editor of a new book that's out now, William F. Buckley's A Torch Kept Lit, Great Lives of the 20th Century. And
Buckley also carried on what he called trans-ideological friendships, where he was great friends with liberals in a way that is uncommon to see today. And I think there's a real hungering for that in today's political climate. I dare say that those of our listeners who, for whatever occasion, give to a friend the gift of A Torch Kept Lit will find that the book actually deepens their own friendships.
So when you say you use eulogies because it encompasses people's life and get to his perspective on the depth of their lives, give me an example of what he would bring or what he did bring to the life of, let's say, a Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead, a guy that I've never been a Dead fan, been fascinated by the passion in which people follow.
I was. I saw about 15 or 20 Dead shows in the last century. Buckley begins that column by saying, "If I ever heard a song performed by the Grateful Dead, I was unaware of it." But he knew a Deadhead who had worked in the offices of National Review, and he watched that young man deteriorate both in his personal upkeep and his ability to maintain his duties. And he speculated after Jerry Garcia died on the impact that Jerry Garcia had on legions of young people. These are often emotionally devastating pieces because in 33 of the 52 eulogies that are in this book, Buckley knew them personally. So, for example, even Ronald Reagan, with whom he had a very close relationship, he says in his eulogy that the character of Ronald Reagan was the decisive factor in the winning of the Cold War. But these are not simply celebratory. So, for example, Winston Churchill, who was a lionized figure in conservative circles, Buckley actually saw Churchill speak in person. And he said he celebrated the accomplishments of Churchill in up through and including the winning of the Second World War, but he criticized Churchill for continuing to stay on in office when he did not have the stamina to prosecute the Cold War effectively, and as such, at that time, about one-third of the world's population wound up behind the Iron Curtain.
Well, it's true, but although he was voted out, he was voted back in. At that point, maybe the curtain had dropped. What about other people like Martin Luther King?
There again, you know, today we remember Martin Luther King in exclusively gauzy terms. When he was assassinated in April 1968, Buckley wrote a column that celebrated the accomplishments of Martin Luther King as an orator, as a civil rights leader in that space. But at that time, King had been very critical not only of America's involvement in Vietnam, but about the role America was playing in the world more broadly, in comments that came close to, almost to echoing the comments that one would have heard at that time from the Soviet Union. And Buckley criticized him in his eulogy for that. Often in these pieces, Buckley is trying to use his own novelistic gifts to conjure these people in full, to savor and experience them as he had, and allowing the readers to see these people as men and women in full.
I've never seen a musical, I've never seen a performer, an entertainer, as referenced as John Lennon. And more people talk about the loss of John Lennon. The people I didn't know, for example, you're a big Beatles guy, as big as anybody on the planet, perhaps. More people that aren't labeled big Beatles fans, just talk about his impact, even after the Beatles years. How did a guy, by the way, a liberal,
John Lennon?
Yeah.
Safe to say.
Yeah. How was the ultimate conservative characterize him?
So in 1964, when the Beatles came to America and Beatlemania swept the nation, Buckley wrote in a column that they are not just awful, but god-awful. And he predicted that they would go down in the history of music in a way analogous to the way the anti-popes go down in the history of Catholicism. He later said he received five times as many angry letters for that one column as anything else he ever wrote in his whole career. By 1968, Buckley commits the most spectacular reversal of his entire career. He publishes a column called How I Came to Rock, in which he acknowledges that there is an exuberance about the Beatles that is simply unmatched anywhere and that they are ultimately irresistible. But when John Lennon was killed in 1980, Buckley wrote, I was not moved by the man, his music, or his message. But as he surveyed the crowds of 100,000 people in Central Park weeping and holding candles, he declared, the grief one has to recognize is real. And so, again, these are often emotionally shattering works. And in A Torch Kept Lit, you'll see Buckley write about presidents, about members of the community of arts and letters, about celebrities, about his own friends who were not famous. And there, sometimes, the emotional impact of these pieces is truly devastating.
When you look at the conservative movement, where would it have been without him?
Hard to say that there would have been one. When Buckley came on the scene in the 50s, founding National Review, then in the 60s, his television show Firing Line, which ran all the way through 1999, the longest-running TV talk show with a single host. He had his syndicated column. He had his books. He was put on the cover of Time magazine in 1967, and it said, William F. Buckley Jr., below a caricature of him, conservatism can be fun. Buckley was the first media-friendly conservative in the media age. He used his looks, his wit, his family fortune to advance the cause of conservatism. But he did so with that stylish wit of his. And I'll give you one example. Back in the Cold War, when Buckley was at the peak of his influence, people would engage in moral equivalence. They would say, oh, the KGB and the CIA, those are the same guys. They just wear different colored trench coats. They all do the same things. And Buckley would lean back with his eyes afire, his tongue dotting his lips maniacally, and he would say, of the KGB and the CIA being the same people, he would say, men who push old ladies into the way of an onrushing bus and men who push old ladies out of the way of an onrushing bus, it seems to me, ought not to be grouped together as men who go around pushing old ladies around.
Very good. That's, by the way, it's great when you can actually do his voice. Looking at him and the conservative movement, the thing that he looked at now, it would be fascinating to see what he would think of someone, Donald Trump, new to the Republican Party, gets a lot of conservatives beside themselves, can't even support him. We could go through some of the names. What time is it? So how would he view a Donald Trump?
We can't know with certainty, and it's a dangerous business to say.
But I can ask you what you think.
Sure. Donald Trump was the subject of some of Bill Buckley's writing around the year 2000, in which he basically said, beware the narcissist. But also Hillary Clinton came in for criticism in Bill Buckley's canon of writings. And Buckley had a credo, which was always to support the most rightward viable candidate. And it's not clear that he would have, in a setting in which Hillary Clinton would have been the only other available option, that Buckley would have continued to insist that we beware the narcissist. But we can't know with certainty. We do know that Buckley recoiled from the coarseness, the profanity that he heard expressed in private on the Nixon tapes when they came into public domain. And I think Bill Buckley, generally speaking, would be saddened by the coarseness of the political discourse today.
Did you meet him?
Oh, many times. He gave me my start in journalism, and I interviewed him for Fox News with three cameras at his Manhattan mansion in 2000. The occasion was his 75th birthday. And I'll tell you a funny story if we have time. I asked him, now, Buckley came from a well-off family. He married into a wealthy family. He was an avid yachtsman. He wrote best-selling books about sailing the world's oceans. So I asked him, and again, this was the year 2000. I said, Mr. Buckley, when was the last time that you felt insecure about something, financially insecure, emotionally insecure, in a bad neighborhood after dark? When was the last time? Anything at all? And he pauses earnestly, and he said, well, there have been some rather anxious moments at sea. There was one particularly horrific squall that came through. I wasn't entirely sure we weren't going to drown. And I said, what year was this, sir? And he just looks at me and said, 1958. So let's recap.
That's a pretty good life.
Yeah, that's a life well lived. If I've asked you, when was the last time you felt a twinge of insecurity about anything at all under the sun? And you have to dimly hearken back 42 years. We should all live a life like that.
Absolutely. So, James, you want to take a quick call?
Absolutely.
Jim, listening on FM News Talk 97.1, talking about the GOP establishment. How appropriate. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Brian. Hey, James. Brian, I love you like a brother. I really, I read
Thank
your
you.
Latest book. I thoroughly, I couldn't put it down. But my issue with, and I understand that what you're saying about Ryan and Trump going after him, I understand that. But the GOP has never backed him, and he's not my guy, but I'm going to vote for him just because of the alternative. I mean, you know, I've, no pun intended, I've hunkered down in a foxhole for the last 8 years and have, you know, had my fair share, you know, of executive orders. I'll have to hunker down another 4 years.
I know. But, Jim, I answered this question a bunch of times, and I appreciate your support. I'm going to let James answer this. James, do you think it's accurate to portray the Republican Party as never embracing Donald Trump?
No, there are elements of the Republican Party that have embraced Donald Trump, including 14 million people who voted for him. You know, the left likes to portray the rise of Donald Trump as some kind of wild expression of racism, of xenophobia. And I don't think that's accurate. There are not, to my knowledge, 14 million members of the KKK in America today. I think more correctly, Donald Trump is portrayed as a rebuke to the political classes. When people say Donald Trump's a joke, I say the joke was the fiscal cliff. When our political classes from both parties can't get their act together and by 11:59:59 on New Year's Eve produce a deal such that we avert the fiscal cliff, and moreover, a consequence of this ineptitude is that our national credit rating is downgraded by Standard & Poor's, that's the joke. And I see in Donald Trump's rise a message from the electorate to the political classes to the effect of, we are so deeply disaffected and disappointed in your performance for so long now that where the top job is usually someone hired from the ranks of your political classes, we're going to go outside your ranks to fill the top job this time.
So I think this, though, the Republican Party actually got behind him. They actually produced their ground game. Usually the candidate has their own ground game, the micro-targeting and everything that Barack Obama brought to fray with David Axelrod and company. And I really think Reince Priebus, I talked to him on and off camera, on and off microphone, sincerely got behind Trump. He's the guy that you guys picked. He's there. Jeb Bush didn't get behind, but I don't really think Jeb Bush has a large constituency. The Bush family didn't.
No. But the RNC is not the Republican Party necessarily. What is the party? Is it its leadership or its voters, right? That's always going to be an age-old question. There is no question but that Donald Trump is a singular figure. There's no question but that his candidacy was singular in how, for example, during the primaries, he was accusing the leadership of his own party and the RNC of presiding over a rigged process. And now the level of dissension within the party and within its leadership over his candidacy, this is all unprecedented. But there have been many times where this race has been very close, and but for Trump's own indiscipline, he might even have the lead right now.
It would be. And I just think, yeah, there were people in the beginning that said, I'd rather have Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, whatever. But now they've gotten behind, they've gotten over it. But time and time again, every 6 to 8 weeks, there's some type of eruption and there's an overreaction.
Who would have advised the man, fresh off his convention when he had a nice bounce out of Cleveland, to spend a week going back and forth with a Gold Star family? Who would have advised him to chase all the rabbits that Hillary Clinton set loose in that debate and spend the week after the debate tweeting at 3 a.m. about a forgotten Miss Universe contestant? He does this to himself in large measure.
But I understand your frustration, and I do think, actually, I do believe that if given the job, if he earns the job November 8th, I actually think he would grow into it and be a very good president, and I'm convinced of it. But during the fight, during the actual boxing match, he's made some terrible decisions. 1-866-408-7669. James Rosen's here, not only to see me in person, but also because his book is now out and about. It's called A Torch Kept Lit, Great Lives of the 20th Century. It's all about William F. Buckley and his eulogies with commentary from James Rosen. Back in a moment with you.
So friendly that he always knows your name. Well, it helps that he has a call screener. It's Kilmeade and Friends.
I'm a student.
I'm a professional.
I'm a woman.
And I shouldn't have to worry about walking alone, day or night.
I've heard it all.
Honey, give me a smile.
Harmless catcalls? I never know. Ivy is a revolutionary defense tool that's based on one of nature's most efficient defenses, a cat's retractable claws. It weighs less than my phone and is designed to collect DNA. Old-fashioned defense products are heavy, need batteries, or can backfire on me. Tiger Lady is discreet and fits in my hand. And when I make a fist, claws come out like a real-life wolf.
Wolverine. It's easy to use, doesn't require training, and is legal in all 50 states.
Whether I'm out for a run or making my way around campus, I come prepared with my Tiger Lady.
3 million men and 19 million women have experienced at least one incident of sexual assault. Be aware and be prepared.
For a limited time, go to TigerLady.com and get the family four-pack at a savings of over 15% off. Use the offer code SAVINGS and save an additional 15% off. Find your fear. Set Tiger Lady.
The Morgan Silver Dollar, minted from 1878 through 1904 and again in 1921. 90% pure silver. Many agree it's the most beautiful silver coin ever struck. CNS Rare Coins has a huge reserve of these brilliant, uncirculated historical coins and is about to release them to the public for a limited time. Produced at mints located in Philadelphia, New Orleans, Carson City, and San Francisco, this is your chance to obtain a piece of American history. With the price of silver on the rise, shouldn't precious silver be a part of your portfolio? It's the perfect hedge against inflation at below market prices. CNS is proud to release these Morgan Silver Dollars at only $39.95 per coin. So call toll-free 866-55-COINS. There's a 10-coin limit. Call 866-552-6467. And for the first 100 callers, shipping is free. So call now 866-55-COINS.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Redding Bank of Commerce started in Redding over 30 years ago and is currently the only bank headquartered in Redding. As a local community bank, Redding Bank of Commerce can provide their customers the best of both worlds. An educated and highly skilled staff who will work diligently to provide exceptional customer service, as well as innovative products, services, and technologies. In March 2016, Redding Bank of Commerce expanded their branch network to include Palouse, Corning, Orland, Willows, and Wairika. And they are focused on supporting the Northern California communities they serve. Redding Bank of Commerce will continue to offer a variety of quality products and services designed to meet your financial needs while remaining flexible as those needs change. Redding Bank of Commerce, Bank of Choice. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Today was Yom Kippur, or as Gary Johnson calls it, the capital of Thailand.
We're back. I guess Seth Meyers has really won Allison over. Get a lot of Seth Meyers today. It's amazing. You think it's the only late night show.
Did you not find him funny?
Well, I don't know. You talk through the punchline. Can we hear it again?
You were asking me a question.
Oh, that's true. Here are the late night show ratings. NBC, The Tonight Show's got a 3-1. The Late Show's got a 2-4. Jimmy Kimmel's got a 2-2. Does that surprise you? Do you watch the late night shows at all?
I have two boys, and I keep early hours, and so. But the thing about it is, it's not like in Johnny Carson's day. And by the way, there's a eulogy for Johnny Carson in Bill Buckley's "A Torch Kept Lit." That was appointment viewing. Now everyone knows that they can just go to the best, funniest clips like the next morning on various sites. It's very different.
You know what I did? I decided that I want to put a television in my bathroom. And I watch, I DVR while I'm getting ready.
And, please don't tell us that in the bathroom, of all places, you DVR and watch your own show, Fox and Friends, because that would take us to an uncomfortable place from which, frankly, there is no exit.
Can I finish?
Please.
Thank you. James Rose has got a book out. Every time I say that, he's happy. It's William F. Buckley, A Torch Kept Lit. Now I'll get to finish, right?
Finish saying the subtitle, you mean?
Yes, that's right. Great Lives of the 20th Century. Okay. So when I watch all the late night show monologues, so I feel like I'm ready to go at 2:45 in the morning, and yet I've stayed up to a late night. Like, mm-hmm. I feel cool for one of the few times. Like, well, I'm up to date.
No question, Kilmeade has the stamina to go 15. But you know what? Those monologues are a kind of window onto national sentiment in this country. So, as they were in Johnny Carson's
right.
day, too.
I will say this. The Daily Show and the show that's just been canceled by Larry Littlebourne, I've never seen two shows fall off a cliff and be less necessary to watch.
Hmm.
Okay. You're afraid to say anything. Mary, listen on WLAD in Connecticut. Hey, Mary.
I really think that Trump needs to win because we need the change. But I do think that he shouldn't go after Paul Ryan, because Paul Ryan needs to save the rest of the Republican Party. We need both sides to work together.
Thanks, Mary. That, absolutely. You got a half hour with an audience of 5,000. You should probably put it on your opponent.
Yeah, well, look, and Paul Ryan, to summarize, is the future of the Republican Party. But this has been, in his first year as Speaker, really a trial by fire for him.
Beth is listening on News 96.5 in Orlando. Hey, Beth.
Hello, Beth.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, good. Hey, I just want to say that I'm a diehard Trump supporter. I'm college educated, got a bachelor's degree, and I'm redneck, if you would say. I live in Middleburg, if you know where Middleburg, Florida is. But I think this whole thing coming out with all these women on Donald Trump is a bunch of lies, and I don't believe a bit of it. I think it's Hillary's trying to spin the story with all this WikiLeaks stuff coming out. I mean, our government is so corrupt, and there's so much corruption from the top down that Trump needs to get into this next debate. He needs to take the gloves off. He needs to give it to her.
Off.
He's got nothing
Beth,
to lose.
I know one
what
thing.
Gloves do you think he was wearing in the last debate?
Thanks
Beth.
For the call, Beth. Could it boomerang? That's a great point. Could all this stuff come out to it just nullifies and mutes it?
Well, that would be for Trump a desirable scenario, but no. My sense is that these allegations, because there's a critical mass of them, are going to carry some weight. I can't speak to their truthfulness or not, because obviously none of us were present on those occasions except Trump and apparently these women. But you know, there is, in most cases where improper behavior is alleged, there is a presumption of innocence. You're innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
But when sexual assault or sexual harassment is the thing being alleged, that presumption of innocence seems to go away, and people seem to believe that the accuser should have the presumption of accuracy.
It's like with Herman Cain when that happened. No one ever found out what happened as soon as he dropped out of the race. But go out and get James Rosen's book. It is William F. Buckley, The Torch Kept Lit, Great Lives of the 20th Century. James edits and comments. Thanks, James.
Thank you.
Hey, go get Thomas Jefferson, Tripoli Pirates on Paperback Tuesday.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right. I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
This is Fox News.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR 1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, kcnr1460.com. My website, consciouslivingyoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss. Hillary Clinton has at least twice as many six-figure donors as Donald Trump. A joint fundraising account for Clinton and Democratic Party groups saw 317 who gave at least $100,000 between July and September. A joint fundraising account for Trump and GOP groups counted 158 over those same 3 months. Overall, the Hillary Victory Fund raised $261 million to Trump's $61 million. At a GOP dinner in Tampa, Republican vice presidential nominee Mike Pence says the leaks from WikiLeaks reveal another side of Hillary Clinton.
We learn of from emails with her campaign chairman of a tremendous intolerance toward people of faith, toward Catholics and evangelicals, spoken of with such demeaning contempt.
Hillary Clinton says she's ready for her final debate against Donald Trump next Wednesday.
You know, in the first debate, my opponent criticized me for preparing. And I said he was right.